seeing. Maybe one side gets numb or weak. If any of these occur, act immediately. Call 911. This is Kelly Price.
Blacks have a higher occurrence of stroke. Why is that? Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Mom was having such a hard time taking care of Dad, and herself too. Now they're getting help through the National Family Caregiver Support Program with things like meals, cleaning, helping to make their home safe, and finding a companion for Dad to give Mom a break. To find help near you, call the Elder Care Locator at 1-800-677-1116 or visit eldercare.gov. Brought to you by the Administration on Aging, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
How dare the incompetent and willful members of this Bush-Cheney administration humiliate our nation and our people in the eyes of the world and in the conscience of our own people? How dare they subject us to such dishonor and disgrace? How dare they drag the good name of the United States of America through the mud of Saddam Hussein's torture prison?
Yes, indeed. Al Gore at his best. And I do thank Al Gore for that great speech he gave this week. It was, well, it was inspirational, to say the least. Have to think that if Al Gore talked like that during the last election cycle, he'd be sitting in the White House today. Hey, hello from the blue waters and sandy beaches of Fort Myers, Florida. Guy James here with you today. We've got a great show on tap for you. You can call us, by the way, at one of several numbers, all toll-free, 888-602-7500. 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We do encourage your calls on this Memorial Day weekend. Looking forward to a great show. We've got Bev Harris going to be with us today. For those of you listening on the Internet, I know almost all of you know who Bev Harris is. She's led the fight in this black box voting war that we're in the midst of right now. She's made a lot of progress, made a lot of waves, got a lot of people aware of what's going on with these crooked black box voting machines. So she's going to be on with us today. We're going to have Murray Goldstein on with us. I know a lot of you don't know who Murray Goldstein is, but Murray is a decorated veteran of World War II, and he's going to be on a little later with us today to kind of remind us all that it is Memorial Day weekend. I always think of my own dear father on Memorial Day weekend. He's been gone for some time now, but my father was in the Navy, and he was a veteran of Midway and Guam and Wake Island and Tinian Island during the Second World War, and quite proud of his service in the Navy. So I know many of you have relatives and family that have been in one war or not. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we someday, far off in the future, could quit celebrating, well, at least building new war memorials? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if the one for the Gulf War would be the last one it ever had to be built? I think it would. Of course, we've got Mr. Bush. I hope a lot of you are aware of what's going on. I hope a lot of you veterans, particularly if any of you veterans happen to be on the Republican side of the ledger right now, I'd like to know how, because, or why, because Mr. Bush in this election year, I don't know how many of you know this, but do check up on this. Don't take my word for it. Mr. Bush, in the 2005 budget, has promised an additional $400 or so million put into to Veterans Affairs. Isn't that nice? But it leaked out his 2006 budget. He's taken away $940 million. So, as always, in your back pocket, taking it out, and this guy's got no conscience. You know, a real patriotic president would promise to take care of the veterans whom he sent into battle, but this guy doesn't give a damn. He really doesn't. But take a look at that 2006 budget if you don't believe me. It, wow, it really is something. And I always think Memorial Day, there's a little message transcribed near my father's grave. He's got one of those Navy plaques on his burial plot, and it says, "Your silent tents of green we deck with fragrant flowers. Yours has the suffering been, the memory shall be ours." That's Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and quite a famous poem that used a lot for Memorial Day. And, guys, I do hope you'll stay with us for the whole show today. We've got an important show today. Lots to talk about here on this overwhelming left-wing media of ours. You know, we were talking about that earlier this week about, I was listening to talk shows this week, and you know, you get tired of me of saying that, but I do listen to right-wing talk shows. And so my wife and I are driving across Alligator Alley here in South Florida Tuesday, and we had the radio on. And we had a station out of Naples on, which was broadcasting the Mike Gallagher Show. And I know some of you around the country know who Mike Gallagher Show is. And of course, here locally, a lot of folks know who Mike Gallagher is. He's a fanatical right-winger. Who just a couple of years ago didn't really display the same crazy allegiance to the neocon that he now professes. But nonetheless, this guy's pandering to his righty audience is at best nauseating. George Bush is God to this guy, and he also sucks up to the Christian right by constantly giving us stories about his religious activities and his family life. And I really find this guy absolutely revolting. So we're driving along, and we've had enough of Gallagher, and we turn the dial, and there is this Glenn Beck character. I think he's out of Philadelphia, and he's just drooling over Bush's speech at the War College the night before. I mean, he was playing excerpts of it and giving us a play-by-play about how this is one of the greatest, most reassuring speeches in U.S. history. Now, I hear Beck is, he tells it himself, he's a former alcoholic, but after hearing him blather on and on about Bush's pathetic speech, I begin to wonder if he and Jack Daniels aren't good buddies once again. On and on and on he went until we couldn't stand it anymore, so once again we turned the dial. And so the auto-tune button lands us on the Neil Bort Show. Have any of you ever heard this guy, Neil Bortz? Oh, man. I tell you, he is a trip. He's the guy who last week said that voting for Kerry would be akin to signing your own death warrant. My. I could be wrong, but it seems to me that Mr. Bush is the one that would have to sign a bunch of death warrants right now. Wouldn't that be true? You know, really, next to Limbaugh, this guy is without a doubt the most arrogant, pompous ass on the air today. And he claims to be a libertarian, which is what a talk radio host does when he has no guts and wants to ride the fence so that no matter which party's in power, he can still throw stones. And we listened for as long as we could stand it, and then we went to a Spanish music channel. After all, we're getting close to Miami by now. It's only, you know, an hour and a half or so across Florida there on Alligator Alley. And it's the salsa music capital of the world, and the upbeat music was a real treat after listening to those blowhards all morning long. So we finished our business in Miami, and we head home, and once again, being gluttons for punishment, we turn on Limbaugh, but he's not there. He has one of his right-wing friends from Milwaukee hosting the show, and he, too, is heaping praise on Junior Bush for changing, actually, I wrote this down, changing the complexion of the Iraq War, unquote, with his speech the night before. Would someone explain that to me? He actually said that. He and his idiot callers were foaming at the mouth about how Bush had forcefully and truthfully delivered the answer to all our problems in that pitiful speech. Really, it bordered on hysterical. They were hysterical in their hype of Bush's speech, and we were hysterical from laughing at these clowns who were calling in and saying that Bush made it perfectly clear now as to the course we'll take in Iraq. Funny stuff, really. So after a half hour or so of that nonsense, we switched on over to Bill O'Reilly's show, and the content of his show is the real subject of this little rant of mine here today. Of course, O'Reilly, while professing to be in the middle of the road, is praising Bush and beating on liberals like always. But what got my attention this day was his crazy, wild assertion that the so-called elite media, whatever that is, controls the news. He was carrying on as if the poor conservatives were taking a terrible beating in the press. The newspapers and TV, he says, are overwhelmingly, quote, left-wing. Rather, Jennings, Brokaw, the entire CNN staff, MSNBC, most of the cable TV, local TV anchors, all of them conspiring against the poor folks over on the right. He actually made the statement that 75% of all TV reporters are from the far left. So he, Mr. No Spin has this caller call in and call his bluff on that statement, but Mr. No Spin, instead of saying he'd been caught in a huge outright lie, he said he was innocently engaging in hyperbole. No Spin, see? When he gets caught in a lie, well, it wasn't a lie. It was just hyperbole. And after hearing all I had heard on the radio that day, I was really in no mood for a geek like O'Reilly to be telling me whoppers about how he knows just about everybody in the business, and he's never met even one, he said this, he never met even one reporter from the right in the 30 years he's been in the business. He stated that there were, quote, legions of fanatical liberal reporters, but none from the right. I guess old Billy Boy has never heard of Eva Von Zahn or the Beltway Boys, or Britt Hume and Tony Snow must be a couple of guys he never heard of. Maybe good old Cal Thomas must not count. He's the most syndicated writer in the country. Juan Williams and John McLaughlin, or Michael Medved, Tim Russert, Ollie North, Paul Weyrich, Bob Novak, Candy Crowley, John Stossel, Howard Kurtz, Ann Coulter, Andrew Sullivan, Peggy Noonan, William Sapphire, Tucker Carlson, and legions of others. And while we're at it, I haven't even mentioned the rest of the right-wingers on the radio I didn't have time to listen to on our little trip. There's good old Sean Hannity, G. Gordon Liddy, Dr. Laura, Laura Ingraham, Lars Larson, Mike, the craziest of them all, Savage, Rusty Humphrey, Dennis Prager, Phil Hendry, Matt Drudge, Lucy Ann Goldberg, and every other parasite who made their fortune from Bill Clinton's zipper. So I'm thinking I should start a list from the left, and I thought about it for a while, but I really couldn't think of many. I tried and tried to think of even one media giant from the left, but I couldn't. You know, after a while I said, oh, come on, there must be at least one lefty who's a household word. I slept on it for a couple of nights, and I still haven't come up with a single media giant from the left. Help me out here, will you? Am I missing something? But I think you get my point by now. They want it all. They want it all. They won't be satisfied until they get it all. Not 60%, not 70 or 80%. They want it all. They're just about there. Every week, it seems, there's another right-wing radical showing up on the radio around here. Is it that bad where you live? Why do you think the right-wing propaganda is so popular? Let's face it, and it is really popular. Is it what America really wants to hear of? Is it being force-fed to the public by the people who control the media outlets? Is it really the sinister plot that I believe it is? Is it all part of the vast right-wing conspiracy? I do believe it is. And after looking at the figures, who can argue against me on this? And if you can, give me a call. Let's discuss it. I love to hear it when people start telling me about all these left-wing elitist media. But by golly, I don't know. I don't feel very elite here, do you? Biz, do you feel elite? I guess not. But, Terry McAuliffe had a comment today on the eve of Memorial Day weekend. He said, to quote him, on the eve of Memorial Day weekend, it was revealed that if George Bush stays in office, he plans to cut veterans' funding by nearly $1 billion. We have a message for the veterans of this country that when John Kerry is elected President of the United States of America, he will fully fund veterans' benefits across this country. He will make sure that veterans that have fought for this country can come back to a country that takes care of those who took care of us. And that is a pledge from John Kerry. And that's coming from Mr. Terry McAuliffe, chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show. And don't forget, you can call us 888-602-7500-7501-7502-03-04. We'll be right back after these words.
The Guy James Show. Democrats, unite. This is the year and now is the time. Your voice must be heard in Southwest Florida. Join hundreds of other concerned American patriots as we combine our energies, our talents, and our resources to announce to all of Southwest Florida that our presence will no longer be ignored, our voices no longer denied. Our party needs us now. Our country needs us now. The Collier County Democratic Club is leading the way, rising on the tide of determination. Join us at our exciting monthly meetings and learn what you can do to make a difference. Call the Democratic Hotline today at area code 239-434-7754 or log on to www.collierdemocrats.org. Again, call 434-7754 or log on to www.collierdemocrats.org. This is the year, and now is the time to start thinking about tomorrow, the time to start thinking about joining the Collier County Democratic Club. This has been a paid political advertisement, approved and paid for by the Collier County Democratic Club, Bill McMahon, Treasurer.
This is a wrench. This is a wrench and a can of beans. This is a wrench, some canned goods, and a flashlight. This is a wrench, some canned goods, a flashlight, and a gallon of water. This is a wrench, some canned goods, a flashlight, a gallon of water, batteries, blankets, duct tape, can opener, first aid kit, radio, 3-day supply of medications, playing cards, a local map, and some extra cash. When we bring all these things together, we have a disaster supplies kit, also known as peace of mind for you and your family. With a list from your local Red Cross, you can assemble all the supplies you need to prepare your home and family for an emergency or disaster. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To assemble your own kit, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
How dare they blame their misdeeds on young enlisted personnel from a reserve unit in upstate New York? How dare they say this is the work of a few bad apples among enlisted personnel? President Bush owes more than one apology. On the list of those he let down are the young soldiers who are themselves apparently culpable, but who were clearly forced to wade into a moral cesspool designed by the Bush White House.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, what a mess. What a mess. And I've never heard a better speech Well, for a long, long time, I haven't heard a better speech, and Al Gore was right on the money with that speech. Going to go to the phones right now. We've got Diane in Fort Myers. Diane, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I think all of Al Gore's speeches have been terrific.
Yeah, something happened to him since he got out of
He's
office.
He's not saying Abu Ghraib or Abu Ghraib.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know which it was.
I don't know. Yeah, Bushy Boy murdered that one. That's
but
for sure.
I mean to tell you, right now, got all those billions over there. Now they want more billions, and he'll get it. They'll see to it. And all for what? For big contracts to keep lining the elite's pockets with more. Meanwhile, our precious guys and gals over there die. Meanwhile, we here at home don't don't have the money to seal up our borders, nor do we have the manpower to seal up our borders, to check in on our docking, our docks for the freighting systems with the ships. We don't have any civil defense to speak of that's worthwhile. We Americans are supposed to be walking around looking for terrorists. We've got to do this because we don't have a civil defense together to do it for us. And we don't have bunkers to run and hide in because all of our bucks went to building their bunkers that they're going to hide in, and they're not going to let us in their bunkers.
Well,
so
we are
in one mess in this country. We're right after, I would say down the line from probably about January of next year, this country's going to go in such a depression, it's not funny. They've played with the stock markets. They've lied about the stock markets on, you know, they're lying about everything. They've been lying about the polls. Well, finally, they're having to bring it out, you know, about the truth on the polls, but they keep it right neck to neck so that when they pull another 2000 election on us, you know, they could say, well, the polls were real close, and lie about it again.
Well, I don't think they're going to get away with it this time.
I really hope not. And I'm so thankful you're having Beth Harris on today.
Yeah.
Because she is a true martyr, people, in this country, because she's looking out for your interest to keep you free and keep you having a choice and having a real election and the right to vote.
Absolutely. Diane,
thank you, guys.
Thank you for your
Bye-bye.
Call. Hey, you know, Diane brought up a great point. And a friend of mine figured something out for me this week and showed it to me on paper. Of all the money that we've spent on this war just so far, all the money that's been appropriated and spent over there so far, hasn't improved things here in America whatsoever. We're not a bit safer than we were. Airports are still porous. Our borders, God knows, anybody that wants to can walk across the border right now. So this friend of mine says, hey, here's something for you. All the money that we've spent on this war so far and have appropriated for it right now. Now listen to this. I know this sounds crazy, but you figure it out. We've got about 10,000 miles of borders all the way around this country. 3,000 miles across the top there of Canada, a couple thousand with the Mexico border, and up the East Coast and down the West Coast and to Florida. So about 10,000 miles of border. For the money that we've spent on this war, for the next 10 years, we could station a man with an automatic rifle every 250 feet. Every 250 feet, well within sight of one another, ringing the United States, the entire 10,000 miles of our border, every 250 feet, close enough to talk to one another, for 10 years, three shifts a day, paying each one of them $40,000 a year. Believe me, there was a lot of zeros in figuring that out. But imagine that. 10,000 miles worth of border, a man with a rifle every 250 feet, three shifts a day, $40,000 a year for the next 10 years. Would our borders be safe? I think so. Are they safe now? What do you think? And one more thing before I go back to the phones. Diane brought up a point about these people profiteering off the war and so forth. How many of you read this story that there's approximately 100 semi-loads per day of salvage showing up in Jordan coming out of Iraq? And a whole lot of it is perfectly good oil well rig equipment and pipeline equipment. They are pilfering, robbing, and looting every piece of metal they can get their hands on, throwing it on a semi, and taking it to Jordan and selling it on the salvage market over there. Many of these big flanges that you see on the oil wells and all that sort of rigging and all that, perfectly good, hauled out of the country and sold for scrap. Why? Because the Americans don't give a damn if they're doing that. Why? Because Halliburton's going to replace every last bit of it. And who's going to pay for it? You are. And I am. You see. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Going to go to Julio in Fort Myers. Julio, welcome to the program.
What's going on, guys?
A lot.
Hey, man, I heard the speech on Monday. It was the Bush speech. I mean, he reminded me of, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
When Robert Duvall, playing Kilgore, he gets off the helicopter in the middle of that battle, and there's explosions going off, and he's talking about surfing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm listening to this guy talking about transferring power and everything's going according to plan, and I'm like, what is he talking about? I mean, we just saw somebody's head get sliced off. We're watching prisoners being abused. We're watching them negotiating supposedly with the terrorists that we're not supposed to negotiate with. And he's talking about, you know, everything's going according to plan. That's the first thing that came to my head is you know, the people in the battle telling Kilgore, hey, you know, there's explosions going off, and they're all ducking all out of the way, and he's just standing there like if everything's okay, like if everything's fine.
Well, this incompetent president, I don't think he knows the score. I really don't, Julio. I'm just really more and more and more, and I don't say that just to be funny or anything.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I think my four-year-old child, okay, knows how to say Abu Ghraib by now. Okay, and he's standing there, Abu, blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Two or three times.
Yeah.
And then, like you know, I listen to the radio. I drive around a lot, so, I mean, there's nothing else to listen to. And I'm listening to Hannity going off about the Clinton-Gore recession that this guy inherited. Okay, which is nonsense. Well, let's go ahead and say that that's true. Okay, when Clinton came into office, I think the recession, he had a real recession.
Yep.
Okay, and who had a bigger recession, either Clinton or this Bush, and who handled it better? I mean, we're 3 years into his administration, and they're still waiting for the economy to come around and to improve.
Three years into this administration, and the buck still stops back with Bill Clinton.
Right, right. And then the other thing is that, you know, they want to take credit during the 90s, you know, for having the balanced budget because the Republicans controlled the Congress or whatever. Okay, well, now they have a Republican Congress and a Republican president. We have a $5 trillion budget or whatever it is. And what's the deal with that? You know, these people are supposed to be, like, they took credit for it, so now who's to blame for it now?
Oh.
Is it Bill Clinton's fault, probably?
Everything's Bill Clinton's fault.
But if I could just say one more thing, okay, like the right-wing radio, if you listen to them, you know, they try to tell you that liberals think that the people are stupid, okay, and that Republicans think that they're not, that they're smart, okay, yeah. Bush has a 41% approval rating, which means that 60% of the country, more or less, disagrees with how he's handling his job. Okay? And now, I don't know if you heard his show yesterday, he's talking about how, well, it's the people are stupid.
Yep.
You know, because they're just not understanding. They're not getting the message. You know, so, I mean, you people who listen to these shows and like, follow it and think that these people are telling you the truth and whatever, these people are just using you, man. They're just using you to further their own cause. And if you really pay attention to what they're saying, they're making fun of you. I remember that April 1st show when he came on and he started talking about how he was going to be a liberal. And you actually had people believing him. You actually had people on
yeah.
April 1st.
Hannity had him convinced, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, and what was fascinating about that was how quickly, as soon as he changed his opinion, everybody turned on him. And they said, oh, you're a scumbag and you know, you don't know what you're doing. You need to get off the air. 5 minutes later, he comes out and says, I was kidding. Oh, you're a great guy. You know, yeah, we thought so, you know. Well, take it easy, guy.
That's so true. So true. And how many of you noticed that Junior Bush pulled a Ronnie Reagan on that speech Monday night? How many of you knew this? Let me set this up a little bit. You know, back when Ronald Reagan gave his famous Star Wars speech, when he announced to the nation that they were going to put this big umbrella over the country and save us from all the missiles and everything? You remember that? I mean, I do. Biz sitting in there isn't even old enough to remember it. But you don't remember that, do you, Biz? No. She doesn't have her microphone open.
No, I think Reagan was, like, elected the year I was born.
Well, boy, you're giving it away
around there.
Now. Well, Biz, let me explain this to you. Ronald Reagan got up and gave this speech, and he started explaining how they were going to put this Star Wars umbrella, they called it, over our country. I don't know, some kind of technology, and we would be able to shoot down any missile that was ever launched at us, and we could sit here fat, happy, and sassy and never have to worry about anything ever again.
Well, it sounds good in theory.
Well, yeah, it
did. On paper, like on a napkin, I'm sure it was a brilliant idea.
Well, it was on a napkin. The only problem with the thing was, the only napkin that it was on was Reagan's napkin, because he'd forgotten to talk to the Pentagon people about it, or the scientists about it. It's something he dreamed up right before he went out to give this speech. And after the whole speech was over, all the military guys and the White House people were standing and looking at each other going, what the hell was he talking about? And so Bushy the other night, he says they're going to tear down this Abu Ghraib prison and build a new one. And all the military people are going, what?
I didn't understand that part either. I was like, you're going to tear down one. Which, you know, all well, fine, and good, you know, the goodwill, you know, peace.
Well, yeah, but you've
got to
build a nicer one.
But they're still going to do the same thing.
We're good at building prisons here in this country. We're the world's best at building prisons. We have more prisons than anybody else.
We have more prisons than schools.
Yeah, just about. So that was it. Bush, he pulled one of those Reagan things. He tells everybody that we're going to tear down that prison and build a new one, and all the military guys over there going, whoa, boy, that's news to me. That's news to me. But, you know, Bush, he doesn't have to worry about anything he says. I actually talked to a Bush supporter this morning and asked him, what do you think about Bush by now? And he said to me, I said, what do you think about all this mess that's going on right now? And he says, I don't know, and I don't care, because I trust President Bush. He's a good, honest Christian man, and whatever he says will be good for our nation. He said that to me. Despite this debacle that's going on, and no matter where you look, it's a mess, a guy actually said that to me this morning, and it's a guy, you know, that I know pretty well and respect, and you know, what do you say to somebody when they start talking like that? We're far less safe than we've ever been before. I don't know, Biz, what do you say to somebody like that?
Well, I found an interesting article during the week. I was looking up some stuff for some other shows here at the station, and it was Tom Clancy has a new book coming out, and they were interviewing him about that, and he was quoting saying that Bush is a good man, but Iraq is a bad mistake. It was just a bad mistake by a good man. And I thought that was pretty interesting. I think that it almost hits right on.
Well, I'll give him the bad mistake part. I won't. I will go along with the rest of the part. I
said almost.
Almost. Well, I don't happen to think he is such a good guy, and he's proven it over and over and over again to me. But, you know, we've come to the point right now where you have to wonder if anything can go right for these guys. You know, it's been the worst comedy of errors that I think I've ever seen. No matter what happens, he gives this crazy speech the other night. People were looking for him to explain himself, to explain what we might do, and all he did was reiterate what he said in the past and stay the course.
No, all he did was campaign.
Well, exactly.
That's what that
right.
was. That was a campaign stunt. That was not governing.
That's right. And I guess we're going to have to suffer through five more of those speeches like that. I don't honestly know if I can take five more of those. But, yeah, it was just a joke. And he didn't come up with anything new. Just giving us the same old, same old, same old. So, I don't know.
I say for the next five, just go out to dinner like I did for the first one.
Oh, well, that's pretty good. That's a good idea. I'll try and do that right now. But, you know, I did watch it on our replay, kind of, and I always like to see what the heck that he's up to. You know, like they always say, keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer. So that's what I'm up to when I'm listening to these right-wing talkers. And, hey, you can call us, you know, what, at 888-602-7500. 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. And if you're here locally, you can call us at 479-5540. 479-5540 if you're local. I do wish some of you right-wingers who listen would call in and try some way, somehow, to explain to me in a logical manner the good things that this president has done for us so far. We know we're not safer. We know we're not more prosperous. We know we're not better off than we were 3 years ago. We know it's not all the fault of 9/11. It has me puzzled. It really does have me puzzled. I don't know. I really don't. Hey, and by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier. We're going to have Republican Love on later on in the show. And I've got a Republican love letter today that you just won't believe. When I first got it, I didn't believe it myself. And so I had to do some checking and check up and see if it actually was for real. And by golly, what do you know? It is. So I guarantee you will enjoy hearing that. We're going to go to Mike on the phone. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm a conservative.
Good.
I cannot believe that you'd call the President of the United States your enemy. Why would you think that he's your enemy?
Usually, your enemies do things that are not in your for your benefit. They do things against the benefit. And I happen to think Mr. Bush, his policies and procedures have not been good for those of us here in the United States.
He's the President of the United States. He represents our country. He was elected.
Well, he was...
By a democracy.
Kind of elected.
So you live in a democracy.
He's
your president.
Well, he doesn't represent my views whatsoever, and he does not represent the views of...
So you're a separatist, though.
So I'm a what?
A separatist. You want to separate yourself from this democracy.
I don't want to separate. I'll tell you what I want to separate. I want to separate Mr. Bush from representing the people of the United States, because he does not represent the plurality of the people in the United States. Never has, never
will.
It's
not true.
It is true.
That's not at all true.
The
majority of Americans are generally conservative to the moderate side.
You couldn't be more wrong. Did he win the popular vote in the last election or not? Who won?
He won the election in accordance
with
the
law. Did he win the popular vote? You just made a statement, Mike, that most people are conservative. Did he win the popular vote? No.
He won the election.
He did not win
the
popular vote, which says
whoever
wins the popular vote has got the most people behind him. Right? More people voted for...
Now you want to change the laws of our election.
No, I'm taking issue with what you said, that this country is conservative. I'm telling you, it is not. Never has been, never will be.
You're saying that it's liberal?
I'm saying it's a middle-of-the-road country. It's neither radical right or radical left.
Well, I would agree with you there. But
Mr.
I don't believe
Bush,
that President Bush is radically to the right. I believe that he... went into Iraq with the best information that he had at the time, that he was representing us as a nation and trying to protect our security and to prevent something like 9/11 from happening again.
You may
look back on that and have information now that he didn't have then, and be a Monday morning quarterback.
Well, he had all the information I have right now.
At the time. The majority of Americans agreed, something in the neighborhood of 75% agreed that Iraq was necessary.
Do they
agree now?
Now
because we have a few bad months, we want to back off. What would have happened to us if during World War II, after we'd lost?
You can't use World War II as an example. World War II was a righteous war. We had every right.
And this is a righteous war. You may not see the enemy, and it may not be.
You tell me. Did Iraq ever attack us?
But that enemy is there.
Did Iraq ever attack us? I don't think so. Could they have attacked us? No.
Iraq was, and is still. This day, harboring terrorists that are bent on our destruction,
on killing us. Did Iraq? Yeah, they've got 100 times more terrorists now than they had before.
Well,
we have lit
again,
the fuse on a powder keg.
They had them before. Well, and maybe it should have been lit.
So, do you think we should go around preemptively every place in the world and every place we think? And Mike, come on. We knew the Koreans had weapons. We knew the Koreans had nuclear weapons, and yet we're over there after a defanged Saddam Hussein. Why?
The Koreans are not attacking the borders of South Korea, and they have China above them.
Saddam Hussein was not attacking anybody either. He is totally defanged after the first Gulf War. He was a threat to no one.
I tell you, I think something should be done about Korea. I don't know exactly what, but something needs to be done to stop the proliferation.
Well, but we can't go around the world now, preempting now, every place that we think there's going to be trouble.
We should do something about it. I'm not sure exactly what, but we should stop the proliferation of nuclear weapons and prevent them from getting into the hands of people who would want to kill us.
We have to do something about that, but Saddam Hussein was not the guy. He was not the threat. He was the boogeyman.
All of the information that we had in the 90s and in the beginning of this
I'll tell you what, Mike.
To the belief, everybody.
We had Scott Ritter. We had Scott Ritter on this program. We had Scott Ritter on this program. Absolutely, positively guarantee us that there were no weapons of mass destruction in that country.
I remember when Scott Ritter came back from Iraq, frustrated because he couldn't get access to the sites.
We had him on this program.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't. We had him as a guest on this program, frustrated because they couldn't go in and do everything they wanted to do. Why? Because Bush wouldn't let them. Saddam said, come on in, do it. And by then we're saying, no, we won't do it. And that's what Scott Ritter was so disgusted about. But he knew there were no weapons there.
I'm not saying that all of the decisions that President Bush and his administration has made has been correct. But if I take your position or Kerry's position, then we're to simply hunker down in the United States, do nothing, appease, and continue to be hated.
See, I know you've been drinking the Kool-Aid, Mike, because you used that word appease. Since when do you think John Kerry is an appeaser?
He is an appeaser.
Tell me, explain that to me.
He would appease the United Nations, which would do nothing except make additional resolutions.
John Kerry called for 40,000 more troops to go into Iraq.
He needed at the moment. That's why he flip-flops. And you know he's an appeaser.
He is not an appeaser. You have nothing to back that up with. He recently called for 40,000 more troops to go into Iraq. You see, Mike, the question is not how. The question is not what to do.
He was calling for us to get out of Iraq.
The question
is,
well, of course, somebody's got a call to get out of Iraq.
Well, sure, but I'm saying that Kerry is not the man to be in the presidency. Now, maybe there's a better choice out there than George Bush. I don't see one right now, but Kerry is not the man to be in the presidency.
Why not?
He has no core. He flip-flops on every...
You're listening to the Kool-Aid, Mike. Mike? I think we lost Mike. All right, he's on a cell phone. So we're going to go to Ed in Naples. Ed, welcome to the program.
Hi, guy. How you doing today?
All right.
Let me turn my radio down. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I just wanted to give you my thoughts about our wonderful president. I heard your last caller, Mike, say he's a true conservative, but at the end of his conversation, I heard him say we ought to hear something about Korea and probably about Syria and probably about Iran. These compassionate conservatives never cease to amaze me. I mean, these people talk one way and do 180 degrees the other way. Can't be good, Mike. Can't be good, guy.
Well, we get into these circular arguments. I mean, you just heard him, that guy, say, you know what bothers me most of all is when they start repeating the right-wing talker stuff, the appeaser. There is no way in the world that anybody can accuse John Kerry of being an appeaser. He wants to be a problem solver. That doesn't, you know, because he wants to get out of Iraq sooner or later doesn't mean that he's an appeaser.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm a little bit concerned about this rhetoric that I hear from, I'm going to call them sheep. It seems like that Bush's ratings start falling. The rhetoric of the color of the weapons, these destruction programs, the alarm planes start turning on every place.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like they go up proportionally to Bush's ratings going down.
Yeah, I agree there. This week was a classic example of it. It was a classic example of it. This deal with Ashcroft and then Tom Ridge, I couldn't believe my eyes and ears on that one.
You know, I do want to ask you something for your opinion, because I know you stay in touch with a lot of these people. You know, if these people want to do the best for the most of Americans, how can they stymie something like stem cell research, which goes so far in helping so many, including Nancy Reagan's husband, ill people?
Well, that's, as you know, a touchy subject with a lot of people, and it is not with me. I fully believe in stem cell research. I don't see any harm in it. I can see nothing. There's nothing but positive involved. But as I mentioned last week, although that religious convictions always bring peace to us as individuals, they bring wars amongst country and problems when we're getting into, well, into the human condition. I mean, it's just a problem when the religious people start getting in on that. I don't see it as a religious problem, and yet it is. And the far right wing has absolutely got control of that issue. And I've often wondered, and a lot of people wonder, I know the answer to this, but they also have control of the abortion issue right now. If they wanted to reverse Roe versus Wade, they could do it right now. They could do it in the Supreme. They got the Supreme Court with them, but they don't. And the reason they don't is because they know they don't have the plurality of the people on their side, and they also know that they've been able to beat the Democrats over the head with that issue for the last two decades, and they don't want to get rid of that issue. They're about as disingenuous on that as you can possibly be.
I like the word you said. They did, and did is the word. I don't like the fact that if Bush is reelected by some real big weird circumstances. Listen, we got enough firing power that on what Bushy Tunes has done alone, we ought to beat his brains out. But if by an act of God he's reelected, we can kiss Roe v. Wade goodbye. One more Supreme Court justice and that's it, out the window. But, you know, not to say any more about this particular issue, if these folks are people of the cloth, I'm fearful of these folks that have a direct line to the holy powers up above. This scares me.
Oh, yeah, and we're going to you stay tuned because we're going to talk more about that in the show today.
Thank you, Guy. It's I enjoy problem. Listening to you. You got a great program.
Thank you, Ed. Do any of you remember that the incompetent Bush gang, right after their selection, said the adults are back in the White House? I know a lot of you remember them saying that. I do. And I vividly remember being so astonished at their brass and lack of humility at the time, because after all, they were skating on thin ice. They had no mandate whatsoever. But as it turns out, was there ever a more stupid statement uttered than that one? Not that I can remember. You know, after this latest debacle in which the Justice Department and the Department of Homeland Security didn't know what each other was doing this past week, you know, I just shook my head in amazement. I mean, how could it be that they could be that incompetent? I mean, we knew they were an amazingly inept group, but God, Ashcroft makes an announcement like that, and then Ridge is saying he didn't have any more information than at any other time. You know, Ashcroft announcing to 280 million people that we were in imminent peril, and then having to look like a complete incompetent fool for doing so. You know, getting people all over America riled up on what may or may not be factual information. Man, these guys, they're something else. I mean, they're the Keystone Cops. They're Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello. Who have I missed? Martin and Lewis. All rolled into one. And remember, these are people at the highest level of our government telling us we're in terrible danger. And then over on the other side of town, Tom Ridge says, well, gee, I don't know about that. Of course, most of us are smart enough to know that it was all just another White House gang ploy, you know, to take the heat off their latest disaster in Iraq. Okay, maybe for them it was a good idea for John Crisco Ashcroft to get America into a shell game to take our eyes off of the Iraq ball. But for God's sake, how could they have been stupid enough to trot out Ridge later in the day, seemingly knowing nothing about Ashcroft's pronouncement? I mean, we already had this problem once before, didn't we? I mean, you remember all the hubbub about the CIA and FBI not knowing what each other was doing before 9/11 because they didn't share information. Adults in the White House, please. You know, my Republican friends, you can say what you want to, but if you have an IQ above 10, you have to know that this is the most corrupt, incompetent, clueless gang to ever reside inside the Beltway. Adults in the White House, hey, I mean, if you can defend this latest monumental comedy of errors, call me. I mean, don't you wonder? If you have faith in these people, don't you wonder about that? Didn't that debacle about these terrorists inside the country, didn't that just blow your confidence? Man, I have to wonder. I saw that, and I looked like one of those cartoon characters, you know, with their head spinning around. It just, I'm amazed by it. I really am. How they could possibly be that far off the mark. I just, I don't know. I really don't get it. We've got John in Naples. John, welcome to the program. Are you with us?
Yes.
Yeah, go, John.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say was I'm just completely outraged on this editorial that they printed in the Naples Daily Friday. They're talking about the Amnesty International report, and the heading is Report Short on Memory. I just want to read this one little paragraph. It said, double woe. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
There is no equivalent, as Amnesty seems to believe, between the United States and Britain and the terrorists who, do not let us forget, brought this war on themselves on 9/11. We didn't start it. They did. Can you believe that?
Yeah, well.
I mean.
You would think. You mean that was actually an editorial by the editorial people at the Naples Daily News?
Absolutely.
You're breaking up on us real bad, John.
Oh.
Hold your phone steady or something. Hold it next to the window. Man, it's hard to believe in this day and age that anybody would still blame 9/11 on Iraq. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. It really is.
It seems almost weekly that this editorial comes out and mentions the connection between 9/11 and the Iraqi war. I'm outraged. I'm completely outraged. I'm from a military family. I've had both of my boys in Iraq. They both were there. They were in the first Gulf War. I mean, this is insane. I mean, we have over 5,000 casualties, American casualties now. We have 811 dead American soldiers and over 4,600 wounded. I mean, not wounded. These people are maimed.
Yes.
I mean, they've lost their limbs, their sights. They'll be handicapped for life, all for lives. You know, these brave American soldiers are out there fighting to protect America when in reality there was no threat. There never was. This was a defenseless country. I mean, we could have won this war in two or 3 weeks. That was it.
Yep.
It's just, I'm outraged.
Well, everything about it, everything about this war has been screwed up. Okay, so they decided to go to war. All right, let's say we all decided to go to war. Well, they prosecuted the war wrong. They did it absolutely wrong. They went against what most of the generals that have since retired and now can speak out have all said they went about it wrong.
Of course, Franks did. Zaney did. They all said we should have went in with 400,000 troops.
Yep. Yep.
Triple what we went in.
Could have saved many American lives by putting more force in there if we had to do it.
I want to make an announcement also. On Memorial Day at the Naples Pier, we're going to be laying out the 2-foot white crosses for every soldier killed in Iraqi. And we're going to have a memorial service at around 6 p.m. at night also. And we'll be calling out the names of each soldier killed.
Thank you for reminding me. I was going to announce that just in a little while. Is Pax Christi sponsoring that?
Well, actually, in conjunction with Veterans for Peace and Military Families Speak Out.
Uh-huh.
And yes, Pax Christi is involved in it. But, because Veterans for Peace are doing this, and they've been doing this every week for almost a year now in San Diego, California.
They're going to put a field of I suppose now it'll be 811 white crosses in the sand.
Well, we don't have, we've run out of crosses, and we don't have the place to keep them anymore, and we don't have the trucks to transport them anymore. So there'll be around 650 crosses. Names of all 811 will be on posters.
And tell us again where it's going to be and what time?
Well, we're going to set up at 9 o'clock in the morning at the Naples Pier on 12th Street, and we'll be on from 9 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night.
Okay.
And at 6 o'clock is when we're going to have our service of the names of each soldier.
John, thanks so much. We got to run. Got the news coming up.
Thank you
for a good call.
Thank you for being on the air.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Guy James Show on WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers. And we'll be right back after the news at the top of the hour. Stay tuned now, you hear?
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show. Coming up on the top of the hour and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
A memorial to the greatest generation. I'm Joan Bennett.
Every day, they ask themselves, what can I do? And every day, they provided their own answers.
Tom Hanks at today's dedication of the World War II Memorial on the Mall in Washington. Vets have waited 60 years for the recognition. Retired Marine Corps General Paul Kelly.
It's one of the most amazing sights that I have ever seen in our nation's capital. And all I can think of is, God bless America.
President Bush.
On this day, in their honor, we will raise the American flag over a monument that will stand as long as America itself.
Former Presidents Bush and Clinton were among the dignitaries at the event, some vets calling the memorial a history lesson for future generations. Al-Qaeda militants, prime suspects in coordinated attacks on Westerners at two compounds in Khobar, Saudi Arabia. One American among at least 10 people killed. Saudi forces stormed the Oasis housing compound where hostages were being held. Several dozen captives remain inside.
They keep these hostages inside the building. And the troops, the Saudi forces, they don't want to attack the building before they have enough information about the hostages and about the attackers.
BBC's Suleiman Nimar. Sam Dash, the chief Watergate counsel whose investigation resulted in President Richard Nixon's resignation, has died at the age of 79.
As chief counsel of the Senate Watergate Committee, Sam Dash helped uncover the cover-up. It led to President Nixon's resignation 30 years ago. The committee also discovered the taping system President Nixon had set up to record his meetings. It was those tapes that eventually led to impeachment charges.
ABC's Vic Ratner. This is ABC News.
I'm a hypocrite. No, I'm not a vegetarian that wears leather shoes. You see, I used to smoke pot. And when I found pot in my kid's room, I confronted him about it. It would have been easier to look the other way and not feel like a hypocrite. But I'm his dad. And he's not allowed to smoke pot, period. It might be hard, but to help your kid with their problem, first you have to get over yours.
Action, the anti-drug.
Hypocritical? Yeah, that's me.
For more information, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800, sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Make every day bolder. Introducing the new bolder taste of Maxwell House French Roast. You told us you wanted a more full-bodied coffee? We listened. Today we custom roast our beans for a new, bolder flavor. Try the new taste of Maxwell House French Roast. It's a bold new way to make every day good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
Let's face it. Mold, mildew, and fungus on your roof is not only unsightly, it's a potential health hazard. DuraShield, an evolution in roofing protection, restores the original beauty of your expensive concrete or tile roof and prevents mold, mildew, and fungus from returning. Guaranteed for 7 years. For asphalt or fiberglass roofing, DuraShield will reduce granule loss as well as prevent the regrowth of mold, mildew, and fungus and will extend the life of your roof. If you're considering having your roof cleaned, don't pressure wash and damage your roof. Call DuraShield for a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate at 574-2594. A professional representative will show you why DuraShield has protected nearly 20,000 roofs in the past 11 years and why once you see the difference, you'll never waste your money on pressure washing again. Protect your property by calling DuraShield for a free estimate at 574-2594. Call 574-2594 today.
Honey, how are those burgers?
This charcoal won't light.
This weekend, start cooking with gas. Sam Galloway Ford lights it up with the hottest deals of the year during Carbecue Weekend. With America's number one selling truck, F-150. Special payments of $179 a month. We're grilling the competition with 0% financing for 60 months and rebates up to $2,500. Yes, get both. And a propane grill with every purchase. Carbecue Weekend. Over 2,200 new Fords. F-150s from $179 a month. 0% financing and $2,500 cash back you can keep. So start cooking with gas. Because after Monday, these special payments and offers will all go up in smoke.
Hey, nice truck. And you should see the grill.
Rush to Sam Galloway Ford. Between 41 and Summerlin on Boy Scout Drive, Fort Myers. Because we sell more, you will save more.
Some medications commonly prescribed to older adults can wreak havoc on our ability to drive. Except for alcohol, prescribed medication is responsible for more traffic crashes than any single illicit drug. So before you get behind the wheel, read the warning labels on all prescription and over-the-counter medications, and always check with your doctor or pharmacist when taking multiple medications.
For a free brochure on older driver safety, call 1-800-993-7222. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Here's Olympic champion figure skater, Sarah Hughes.
Winning a gold medal in 2002 was one of the most memorable moments of my life. These days, I'm focused on my schoolwork, and most importantly, providing community service.
And volunteering can help your school earn great educational tools.
Like computers
and sports equipment.
Join Sarah Hughes and discover how fun and easy it can be to help your community at labelsforamerica.com. That's labelsforamerica.com.
Fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
President Bush himself set the tone for our attitude towards suspects in his State of the Union address in 2003. You may remember this. He noted that more than 3,000 suspected terrorists had been arrested in many countries, and then he added, and many others have met a different fate. Let's put it this way. They are no longer a problem to the United States and our friends and our allies. He promised to change the tone in Washington, and indeed he did. Tragically, as many as 37 prisoners may have been murdered while in captivity, though the numbers are difficult to rely upon because in many cases involving violent death, there were no autopsies.
I'll tell you, I listened to that Al Gore speech, and having been at that State of the Union speech, I was more than just a little bit upset with him. I have to tell you, when I heard that State of the Union speech, I was squirming in my seat. And, well, it was absurd, as always. It was just plain absurd. We're going to have Bev Harris on in just a moment or two. Stand by for that. We're waiting to get hooked up with Bev Harris. Biz, we have someone on line three right now? I don't know. She's not. She's busy with something else. Okay. Yeah, we're going to have Bev on here in just a second or two. Any of you that have questions about the black box voting issue, be sure and get ready with your phone. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. You got that? So if you've got questions about black box voting, You're going to talk to the foremost expert on it right now. Bev Harris, welcome to the program. So glad to have you with us again.
Well, hi. Nice to be here.
My, oh my, Bev, you've been a busy girl. I popped open Gore Vidal's new book the other day, and I'm reading along my own business, and lo and behold, there your name comes up in Vidal's new book. Have you seen his book yet, by the way?
I haven't seen his book, although I visited with him recently. He's a wonderful man, and so I'm gratified that he put me in the book.
Well, you ought to be, and Bev, you ought to be you're to be congratulated for all the work you've done. Yeah, you've done a tremendous service to the people of the United States, and you know what? A lot of people don't even realize it.
Well. You know, we've got a long ways to go. We still, although we now know that these voting machines are going to have some problems, we haven't really solved the situation, and so that's what we've got to do. What we're doing now is putting together a clean voting crew. We're looking for several thousand people to get out there and help with citizen audits and manning hotlines so that we can catch these machines getting the numbers wrong in the act.
Uh-huh. And how are you going about gathering these volunteers?
Just email me at bevharrismail@aol.com or go to blackboxvoting.org, and you can sign up, and then we'll send you further instructions. Then we'll have a litigation hotline and also a hotline to the media. I'm quite sure that if we have a lot of people out in the field observing specific things, which we'll give them to observe, that we will be able to demonstrate the machines often don't count correctly.
Bev, are we beyond that? Now you're talking to a dinosaur here, you know. Are we beyond the point of no return that we're never going to go back to paper ballots? Is this cut and dried now we're going to have these voting machines?
I don't think so. I think it all depends on what happens this fall. You know, it's more of an auditing issue than a computer issue. But I just finished reading the contract for the state of Ohio, and they've got like 31 counties wanting to rush off to Diebold touchscreen voting machines. And there are so many loopholes in that contract that would allow for bad things to happen that it's really demoralizing. And a lot of those kinds of problems do go away if you go to a straight paper ballot system. And the other thing that I think is something to bear in mind is this fall, as we get closer to it, if we don't solve some of these problems, then it may be there's no time to buy any other kind of voting machine system, and they may have to go to paper.
They can't do that soon enough for me, because I just don't trust it. I will never trust it. I'll never get over that. I know I won't. I just don't trust it. I mean, am I wrong? Does Canada still do paper ballots?
Canada does. France, Germany.
Australia, maybe.
Uh-huh. Well, Australia does some computerized voting. The thing with computerized voting is if you do enough different kinds of audits, and I have the kinds of audits that we need to be doing at a minimum on the front page of my webpage right now, but if you do enough, it's reasonably secure, but it's probably better to do the paper ballots. And you can also rig. Understand that you can also tamper with a paper ballot system. However, the difference is you'd have to literally go from ballot box to ballot box. The problems that happen in a paper system tend to be small and localized, whereas the problems that happen in the computerized system can be mammoth problems. You know, you're talking about things that could impact a million votes at once.
Wow. You know, the thing we have to do, those of us who are strictly partisan in this thing, we have to make sure that the vote isn't that close, but so that they can do what they did in Florida once again. But I don't know. I worry constantly about this. What kind of resistance are you getting from secretaries of state and so forth around the nation?
Sometimes a lot of resistance. A lot of them still are not up to speed on the issues. And the reason is because people keep framing this as a computer debate. And, you know, it goes round and round and round with just technobabble debate. You know, well, we have this, but we use the logic and accuracy test. Oh, the logic and accuracy test. You know, and it just goes back and forth ad nauseum. And the fact is most politicians and most people in the media and most regular citizens don't really want to go through the learning curve to learn every inside and out bit about encryption techniques. What we want to know is, do the machines count accurately? Now, what I've found is when you vote counting the vote, it's just bookkeeping. And we have to be able to show our work and show how we came up with this number. And when you put it in that context, all of a sudden it gets very easy to argue the issue. And people who say, oh, we don't want any paper ballots, look really foolish, because when you put it in the context of, well, how are you going to audit? They're like, well, you can't. You don't need to.
Yeah.
So we can simplify it a lot by simplifying the arguments and just simply saying, look, we need to be able to prove that the numbers are right. We need to be able, from a policy standpoint, to do that with regular people. Nowhere in our democracy does it say that we are of the computer programmers, by the computer programmers, and for the people.
Absolutely.
We've got to have this. We got to keep the people in the "we the people" equation in voting.
Hey, folks, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Bev, we got someone online to like to talk to us right now. We have Renee in Ohio. Renee, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. Hi, Bev.
Hi, Renee, and I bet I know what you're going to say. You're an important caller. I'm glad you're here.
I take it you two know each other.
I've heard of her.
I've posted in the Dean blog recently where Bev had just written a post. I was going to mention something before I mentioned the case group, which I know that you are aware of. But speaking of people who are against this, against the paper trail, whatever, if you go to freepress.org and look at it, there's an article in February by Bob Petraeus, and he describes our Secretary of State, Kenneth Blackwell, and how he has not wanted us to move forward with getting the verifiable paper trail. But and I just lost my head. But what he has said is that we were trying to derail election reform by requiring a paper trail. And it's just more of that newspeak that we hear. And also, I wasn't aware. I happened to work in the same college as Petraeus as an adjunct, and found out that he was the first person to tell me that Blackwell had his eyes on the mayor's, the governor's mansion. Which, if you are friends with people, maybe that's the kind of thing you can aspire to. But
we've had our Secretary of State here in Florida say that these aren't computers. What about that?
I heard that.
Yes, she did. She said that.
She also said she wasn't responsible for election problems.
She said that. And then Mr. Jeb Bush now has said that he's going to protect all the voters by not requiring a witness to witness the absentee ballots anymore.
By the way, you mentioned Pax Christi before, and I noticed recently that they are planning to oversee, it's a Catholic group, and they're planning to help oversee the elections in Florida to make sure that they're fair.
Somebody needs to.
Well, yeah, I have an article on the lead, it's, I think, the second one down at blackboxvoting.org called, how desperate is Florida, and it just lists all the different checks and balances
sort of
they've
like
taken away.
World country that needs to be watched over.
I do want to make sure that whether Renee says it or I do, okay, that we get the information about what CASE Ohio, which is a voting activism group, is doing. It's really important.
Yeah.
I was hoping. I'm not involved directly with it, but I tend to spend a lot of time on the blog, and I get emails from some different people, and I know I'm blanking on her name. Susan Truitt. Has forwarded me. But we got the latest information that we haven't raised nearly as much money as we'd hoped to. It was even mentioned, I think, on the majority report a little while ago. So I thought maybe a mention on the Guy Dang Show and get some donations in. If people go to www.caseohio.org, CASEohio.org, it tells you how to donate and help our litigation. Maybe you can explain a little bit more about what
Ohio has had about 31 counties get the option to rescind their Diebold contracts and rescind their touchscreen contracts. And that was due to some brilliant legislation by Teresa Fetter, who's an Ohio state senator. But
what are the other 57 counties doing?
The other 57 counties just backed off of the new purchases. But what's happening now is CASE Ohio, it's Citizen Alliance for Secure Elections, CASEohio.org. They are raising money to litigate any county who buys touchscreen machines. They're going to seek an injunction to prevent them from going forward with the sale. Very important, because Ohio, we know, is a swing state. It's a state that whoever wins has to win. And one of the things we certainly do not want is a bunch of touchscreens that can never be audited,
right,
counting the election this fall.
With Wally Odell, he said he regrets having said, because he had that famous statement about being dedicated to delivering Ohio's electoral votes to Bush, and there was something newer, like that he regrets maybe that was publicized, not so much that he hadn't said that.
Well, isn't it a shame that we're sitting here in the United States of America, the bastion of freedom in the world, talking about having to try and protect our right to vote?
Yeah,
it's a pitiful.
Right, and we're up against the wall here. We've got some pretty desperate problems with it, and I think one of the things that's got me very concerned is even after showing, you know, study after study after study showing that these things are severely flawed, they're going ahead and buying them anyway, and their resistance to doing any kind of auditing is actually doesn't make much sense. And it is becoming a little more suspicious in my mind, especially when you talk about some of the audit things that we're looking at. One of them in particular, where we want a polling place results posted publicly before they, you know, transfer the votes into the central count, and we want the polling place votes compared, the results from the polling place compared with the central count to make sure. Now that really helps get rid of a lot of attack points. It also doesn't cost anything. All of the machines already have a function in it, so you just hit the print button. It takes 60 seconds. They print out the results at the polling place. It costs 5 cents. And it's very important to compare that with what shows up at central count, because of course a number of things can happen on the way down to, you know, the county building. And when they say they don't think that's necessary and they don't want to do that, that starts to sound pretty darn strange.
I thought one more thing before I get off with this article in the Free Press, that I think people might be aware of this, but that these are the same people who make the ATM machines, and saying that they couldn't provide a paper trail. Well, you go to an ATM, what do you get out of it?
Right,
this
right.
Money, you get a receipt.
Oh, they can provide it. They are just, that we have way too much resistance to something that's really relatively simple. And part of it, the election officials find that it complicates their life to actually have records and be accountable. They say things like, well, what if it doesn't match? Well, you know, if it doesn't match, then we have a problem, don't we? It's the same thing as when you get your bank statement back. If it doesn't match, that's not good.
Well, Bev, let me ask a question here from a guy that just doesn't know anything about the techno angle of this. Suppose we have all these monitors at the polls and all the volunteers that you're trying to get.
Right.
And we've got everybody there, and we're taking down names and numbers and all this sort of thing. And when it's all over with, these people have pretty solid information that what went on wasn't according to Hoyle.
Mm-hmm.
How do we at that point prove our case?
Well, that's one of the things that we've given a lot of thought to. You know, everyone says, oh, we need exit polls and we need this and that. Well, that's nice, but you can't use that to prove anything. We will be focusing our volunteer group, unlike any of the other monitors, on hard numbers. In other words, when you have a situation, as they did in Arkansas in the May 18th primary, where, you know, ordinarily 50% turnout is considered fairly good for an election. Well, in this election, they had 117% turnout.
That's not bad.
You know, they had more votes counted than there were voters in the county. Now, those kinds of things.
And that wasn't even that wasn't even in Chicago.
No, and it happens a lot. But the problem is, by the time it gets discovered and bubbles up to the surface, the election has already been certified and the media is no longer interested. What's different about these volunteers is we'll be giving them specific numbers to audit, and they will be calling their discrepancies into a hotline, and we will get immediate action on them. We're going to have a litigator's hotline so that if need be, we can get this stuff into court within 48 hours instead of a month later. That makes all the difference in the world.
Okay, being devil's advocate here, let's say this happens in Florida again. We have a big problem, and all the monitors find out, the auditors find out that things didn't go quite right,
mm-hmm.
and we go to court. Remember, you're in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get people, the powers that be, to be sympathetic when they control the state, lock, stock, and barrel?
Well, at least it gets exposed, and yeah. We are able to show that you guys are a banana republic now.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you know, that's the thing, and we really have given a lot of thought to this, because I will not be surprised if we find literally hundreds and hundreds of material discrepancies, and then we will have the tough choice. What do we do? You know, what do we do when the discrepancies are sufficient that they invalidate the certification of the election? But it's kind of like I liken this to back in the old civil rights fights where a lot of people would go, gee, we just don't want to know, you know, just don't talk about it, it's too much trouble. The only way we're going to solve this problem is to get it out in front of people's face. I would really like it if people would, if the election officials would take proactive measures to prevent these kinds of things. But in many locations, they're not doing that. And if that's the case, it's got to be exposed during a real election.
Well, you know, they're too busy here in Florida right now eliminating more people off the voter rolls.
Oh, yes, and refusing to let them back on 4 years ago.
And we got another list this year, I understand, with about 20,000. Renee, thank you so much for your call.
All right, thank you.
We've got another caller on the line right now. We've got Sue in New Jersey. Sue, welcome. Do you have a question for Bev?
Oh, hi. Well, I just had a comment. There's a company here in New Jersey in Plainsboro called Avante.
Yes.
It's called AI Technology. I hope you know about it.
Oh, absolutely. Avante is one of the good guys in this.
Yeah, they're wonderful. I actually called the owner of the company when I learned about it, and I actually met them at a forum that Rush Holt came to at Princeton University, which had a professor. I don't remember his name, but he's pretty famous for security issues, electronic security, and they brought the machine in, and it's very secure, and I just hope that we'll be promoting more positive good guy companies.
Well, the problem with Avante, it's a good company, and from the get-go, from the start, 4 years ago, they had a paper ballot that the voter verifies along with their touchscreen. They have a very good design. The problem with Avante is not their problem. It's the problem that the Secretaries of State have been stalling and impeding their certification in each state. Now, they are certified nationally,
yes.
But, for example, in my state, Washington State, they have played games year after year, and they still, to this date, don't have authorization to sell in my state. And in California has actually done much the same thing with Avante. So you have secretaries of state who are blocking certification of a company that has demonstrated that it does things in a pretty responsible way.
Yeah, that seems to be the fact. Well, I'm just hoping that, well, I don't see their name on too many of these. I mean, I haven't been to a lot of the voting machine sites, but I think we should get their name out there and, you know, get people like us, you know.
Right. There's actually another company, too, AccuPoll out of California. There are some good ones that are doing this the right way, although it isn't all about just getting a paper ballot, you see, because one of the problems I have with the legislation on the floor is it just says, let's get a paper ballot. Well, no, it doesn't say what to do with the paper ballot. Just having it doesn't do much good because the optical scan systems, which are like the fill in the bubble and run it through the scan, those are actually just as vulnerable. And the reason they are, even though they do have a paper ballot, is because we generally are not allowed to really use that paper ballot to do any meaningful audit. So, for example, in Nebraska, a candidate there lost the election. Actually, his opponent was involved in the company that made the machines, the optical scan machines that counted all the votes. And he said, I want to get a recount on this. I'll pay for the recount since I'm not very close, you know, close enough to get an automatic one. And he said, the one thing is, though, when I pay for the recount, I want to be able to look at the paper ballots and compare them with what those machines came up with. And they said, well, there's no provision in the law to allow you to actually look at the paper ballots. So it's not about just getting a paper ballot. It's about using that paper ballot.
Bev, let me ask another stupid guy question here. I read the other day where they've got it set up. I'm not sure whether it was Diebold or which one of these companies was. They got it set up so that you can't get into these machines. Nobody outside of the company can get into these machines and track any problems with them or anything. Is that true?
They like to say all kinds of things, but the truth is people outside the company have gotten into the machines, and even if you only look at inside access, when you look at the fact we have about something like 2,500 counties in the U.S., and each one has about five people that get access officially, you know, between the technicians and the local officials and the IT guys and so forth, you're talking about, you know, 12,500 people, something like that, that have inside access. And you see, so it isn't just a matter of some hacker from outside the system. We have thousands upon thousands of people with inside access to the system. And so I really look at that as one of the biggest risks is, you know, my experience, and I actually did writing on financial fraud and so forth, was that when you take away away the checks and balances, as we have done with taking away a lot of the auditing with the voting machines. But when you take away checks and balances in a financial system, about 1 out of 20 people will walk through that open door and steal. You know, if you've got 12,000 people with inside access, that's a lot of temptation, because it's pretty obvious for somebody with money who wants to buy off an election, and that, by the way, that need not be the candidate, it could be a corporation. You know exactly who to approach, and I'll tell you something else. A lot of the people with inside access aren't even employees of either the county or the company. They're temporary workers, because, again, when you think about it, these election days only come around once every so often. The company is not going to have technicians on staff year-round to deal with that. So what they do is they run ads on Monster.com, and they hire people over the phone who then come in and have inside access. They don't do criminal background checks on them. And
Bev. Now, Bev, one of the reasons that I had you on the program today, besides to be so informative for everybody, I'm paranoid about this issue, and I thought you were going to make me feel better about it, and you're not doing that. I'm feeling worse the longer you get on.
Well, we're not. Yeah, we haven't solved it yet, and I try to be cheerful about this, although there are times when it's just overwhelming, because we really have a problem here.
Yeah, but now you're telling me every Tom, Dick, and Harry practically can get a job with these people and hack these machines?
Well, yeah. In fact, in California, this great guy, I mean, you know, he was an honest guy, thank goodness, but he came forward and testified before the voter panel on that, and it was very disturbing. He said, you know, I was a tech, got my job on Monster.com. They hired me over the telephone, never checked into my background, and had me building Diebold touchscreens. And they had him uploading patches and doing all kinds of things.
Incredible.
So, you know, it's a situation where we really don't have control over it, and everybody wants to feel good about it, and I understand that. That's kind of why we haven't gotten maybe more coverage. Way back in the 80s, when the AIDS story first broke, you know, there were years where people just didn't really want to get into it and know about that thing, and so it just didn't really get the media attention it probably should have gotten. And I feel like this is sort of the same kind of thing, where it's a huge problem. But you know, nobody really wants to really look at the implications of this.
Well, is it because we're just too trusting, or is it we just don't give a damn?
We do give a damn. I mean, people are very concerned about it. I think it's a couple things. They don't want to necessarily go through this big techno learning curve, you know, to be able to debate the subject. And that's why I really encourage people to just debate it in terms of, can you prove the results are correct? It's bookkeeping. If you can't prove it, go back to the drawing boards. And the other thing is very simple. We, the people, are the ones supposed to count the votes, not a bunch of computer programmers. That is not how democracy is set up, and you can't have it so that a handful of people with very specialized knowledge have control over our vote.
Wow. That's disturbing.
Deb?
Yes?
I just had one more question. One of the ideas that I've had is to have voting day become a national holiday and have actual citizens sit there, as you said,
yes,
physically count paper ballots. I think,
yes,
you know, at this point it's too late for electronics.
Well, you know what? It's all a matter of what is politically acceptable at the time, and as more and more problems are exposed, I think it may become more politically acceptable to do that. I think that would be an excellent idea. The other thing is, think about this. When we say you go in and you push a screen and you can't see how your vote is actually recorded, and then they're going to take this cartridge and no one can watch that, and they put it in a room and they shut the door and they feed it into a computer, and then you're supposed to just watch it on TV. And then they say, and you know, people are less interested in voting. Well, yes, if you take people out of the equation, they're going to get less interested. Now, if you make it a national holiday and you say, come on in, get involved, people are going to get more interested in voting.
And get the kids involved, too. I mean, it's their future.
And exactly. In fact, another thing we could do, if we're so short-staffed we can't count votes, is, you know, have the civics classes in high school under careful supervision, or they can pick the honor students, I don't care what, but, you know, bring them on board. This is empowerment of people, and this is what we need to be looking at, is get people back into the equation.
You know, I had somebody send me an email wanting me to ask about Cleveland, Cuyahoga County.
I've spent some time there recently, yes.
Well, good old Cuyahoga County. They really plan to get rid of the sign-in poll book?
Actually, nationwide. What was interesting is Cleveland had a I got a transcript, and they were grilling Diebold about the problems they had in California. And in California, Diebold had a bunch of a component of their system that failed and caused a lot of people not to be able to vote. And they said, well, why did you change that part of the system? Because it was apparently working okay before. And Diebold's answer, and I have the transcript of this, was, well, because we plan to get rid of the poll book. That'll save you all a lot of money. Now, here's what the deal is. When you come into the polling place, you sign in, you know, Mildred checks your your number and all this, make sure you're registered. And the count, the number of people who signed in to that poll book is compared with how many votes show up.
Yeah.
And they should match fairly closely. It's not 100%, but it should be pretty close. If you get rid of the poll book, you got rid of the paper evidence, the human verified evidence of how many voters came in. That's very dangerous. And they're not talking about that just in Cuyahoga County. It actually came out in a Cuyahoga transcript. They're talking about that nationwide.
Yeah, but, you know, in Cuyahoga County, I suppose next to Franklin County in Ohio is probably the largest voting block in Ohio.
It is. It's very interesting there because has a very large African-American community who has become very concerned about this issue, by the way. And I think this is making the politics very interesting for Secretary of State Ken Blackwell, who is himself African-American and cannot win without that voting block. And as a rule, that voting bloc in Cleveland and in Cuyahoga County has become absolutely upset about paperless voting, and they don't want it. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out politically.
Absolutely. Hey, you can call us. We've got Bev for about another 3-4 minutes here, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02 and 03 and 04. Sue, we thank you for your call. Bev, I sincerely hope that we can get the public just to scrutinize this from one end to the other. It worries hell out of me. I'm scared about this election because, as we all know, it's probably going to be close again, and it certainly could be something that tips the election one way or another. But you've done so much work with this. You're probably the authority on it in the country, without question, I think. Why are you getting so much resistance from the secretaries of state and so forth around the nation? Why?
Well, it's not from all of them, you know. If you look at Kevin Shelley in California, he's really courageous. I mean, he's just tackled this. But, you know, if you go to the National Secretary of State's convention, everything there is sponsored by these voting companies. You know, they have the Diebold Lounge and, you know, the ESNS luncheon.
Yeah.
They don't seem to have regular citizens there telling them what we would actually like. There's a lot of that. And the other thing that I'm finding, what I'm involved in right now is a 90-day road trip, and I'm investigating kickbacks. I mean, it's time somebody does it, because some of the kinds of purchase decisions that are made, when you see a situation where, for example, the Diebold TSX machine is decertified and the company is referred for criminal prosecution, as happened in California, and then you see a county say, well, you know what, we'll buy, you know, out of all the options we have, including Avante and so forth, we'll buy the one that was decertified.
Yeah.
You got to look at that and go, wait a minute, is someone getting paid here? And that's what I'm investigating right now.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I think there's no question about it.
Oh, my.
In fact, in my first five days, I uncovered something fairly stunning that I'll probably be releasing in about another 2 weeks. I'm firming up some more documentation on it. But, yeah, we're going to find them.
Oh, Bev. On the one hand, I am definitely reassured that someone like you and the people you're working with are working hard on behalf of all of us. This is the greatest part of our freedom is our vote, and it's so good to know that we have someone competent and diligent like you have been to work on this problem. And I know you got people working with you. How's our candidate doing up in Washington, Secretary of State?
Andy Stevenson, he got his first standing ovation today.
Did he?
At one of the I think it was the convention. I don't know. I'm so clueless on some of this. But, you know, he's not in the club. He was not the one that was, chosen by the powers that be, but he is just gathering steam. And it's because I think, as we see so often, when someone goes and speaks from the heart, it shows. And this is a guy who's the real deal.
Well, he calls the program now and then. It's always good to hear from him. And Bev, any final comments?
Well, you know, I think we can still solve this. And I also want to say, get out there and vote. Do not use this problem as an opportunity to say, oh, I won't vote. Our ancestors died for your right to vote. I'm a woman. You know what? Women died for the right to vote in the 1920s. My husband's African-American. His ancestors died for the right to vote. If you're a white male, the patriots in the Revolutionary War, they died for the right to vote. If we don't vote, we're dishonoring our ancestors. So we got to get out there and vote, and at the same time, absolutely insist on solving this problem so that it gets counted correctly.
Absolutely. Bev, I thank you so much for all that you've done and all that you are doing and will do in this problem. I know you're going to stay at it, and you are a real patriot, and we thank you so much for being on the program today.
Well, it was wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Bev Harris, an enlightening individual, if there ever was one, and believe me, you should know the time and effort that this lady has put into this black box voting issue. A tremendous, tremendous amount of work. You can't imagine. And it is good to know that someone out there is being the cop for all of us, because I don't know. If she wasn't doing it right now, I don't know who would be, but she has certainly deserves a Voters Medal of Honor for what she's done. Hey, we're going to pause for a commercial right now, a couple of minutes, and we'll be back right after these words.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James. Good afternoon, Guy James fans. Enjoying the show? Hey, we're glad to hear that. Here's an example of one of our future shows. Yes, you heard right. That could be the sound you hear or don't hear from the Guy James Show soon. Here, let's listen in one more time. The Guy James Show is America's most powerful weapon to counter the poisonous assault coming from the right. The Guy James Show is America's only commercial-free democratic talk radio show, but without the support of loyal listeners like you, this important national voice could be lost. Instead of this,
there's never been a president of the United States who deserved to be impeached more than George W. Bush. Day after day, I think I'm in some sort of a dream when I think about all the incredible lies and downright treasonable acts that this guy and his minions have gotten away with over and over and over again, and he still sits in the Oval Office. You know, it's amazing, it's incredible, it's unbelievable. You know, there's no word strong enough to describe the contempt I feel for these people.
We could hear this. The Guy James Show, based in fact, produced with pride and delivered with passion. Fellow Democrats, this show is entirely supported by loyal listeners just like you and me. The need is critical, and the time is now. Log on to our website at www.theguyjamesshow.com and show your support. That's www.theguyjamesshow.com, where all that's left is the truth.
What does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
You lost me.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
A message for older drivers from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
If you find that you have to drive at night, travel in well-lighted areas when possible.
Make sure your headlights are clean.
Keep your windshield clear, both inside and out.
Avoid driving at night in the rain or other foul weather.
Also, try to avoid busy streets or other stressful situations.
It's what makes an older driver a wiser and safer driver.
For a free brochure on older driver safety, call 1-800-993-7222.
This is Power Talk 1200. And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
A business enterprise finds itself in deep trouble that is linked to the failed policies of the current CEO. Well, the directors and stockholders usually say to the failed CEO, thank you very much, but we're going to replace you now with a new CEO, one who is less vested in a stubborn insistence on staying the course. One of the strengths of democracy is the ability of the people to regularly demand changes in leadership and to fire a failing leader and hire a new one who offers the promise of hopeful change. That is the real solution to America's quagmire in Iraq. But I am keenly aware that we have 7 months and 25 days remaining in this president's current term of office, which represents a time of dangerous vulnerability for our country because of the recklessness and demonstrated incompetence of the current administration. It is therefore essential that even as we focus on that fateful choice in November, we must simultaneously search for ways to reduce the extraordinarily high level of danger that we face with this current leadership team in place. It is for that reason that I am calling today for Republicans as well as Democrats to join me in asking for the immediate resignations of those immediately below George Bush and Dick Cheney, who are responsible, most responsible for creating the catastrophe that we are facing in Iraq. We desperately need a national security team with at least minimal competence, because the current team is making things worse with each passing day. They are endangering the lives of our soldiers and sharply increasing the danger faced by American citizens everywhere in the world, including here at home. They are enraging hundreds of millions of people and embittering an entire generation of anti-Americans whose anger is already near the boiling point. We simply cannot afford to further increase the risk to our country with more blunders by this team. Donald Rumsfeld ought to resign immediately as the chief architect of this plan. Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, the intelligence chief Stephen Cambone, all ought to resign immediately. Our nation is at risk every single day Rumsfeld remains as Secretary of Defense. We need someone with good judgment and common sense. Condoleezza Rice ought to resign immediately. She has badly mishandled the coordination of national security policy. This is a disaster for our country. And they are responsible, along with the President and Vice President. We may have to wait to get rid of Bush and Cheney, but we ought to call on our Republican friends to join us in getting the rest of that team out right now.
Right now wouldn't be soon enough, Al. It can't be too soon for me. The guy's points are so well made. Did you see that pathetic Sean Hannity the other night try and goad Bob Dole into criticizing Al Gore for giving that speech? It was funny, actually. Hannity kept trying to put words in Dole's mouth, and Dole was having none of it, being the gentleman that he is and being the smart guy that he is. Hannity tried three different times to get Dole to complain about the speech, and to Dole's credit, he just wouldn't do it. And then Hannity kept saying that Gore was screeching during his speech. You know, I can almost understand why Hannity would say that, because he isn't used to having anyone in his party give a speech with true passion. You know, think about who poor Hannity has to listen to right now. Junior Bush. could anyone be possibly a worse speaker than that poor incompetent Junior Bush? I mean, his dad was no prize as a speaker, but Junior is just a god-awful speaker. You know, even when his speechwriters come up with something half-decent, he manages to mangle it somehow. How would you like to be one of his speechwriters and work for days and days and days on a great speech, knowing that the world's worst speaker was going to try and deliver it? Man, that's got to be disheartening. You know, I'm sure Bush's speechwriters don't even recognize their own writing by the time Junior gets done with it. And his father, George Herbert Walker Bush, wouldn't you like to know what he thinks about Junior's speeches? I mean, you know, he knows that out of his sons, this one is truly the dim bulb. So, he probably doesn't expect too much from him. But, man, when he hears this guy speak, it has to cause him to wince now and then. I mean, I can see it now. Pappy Bush is sitting there along with Babs watching Junior give that speech the other night, cussing and carrying on, calling Carl Rove and saying, "What the hell's wrong with you, Carl, for letting him speak in public again? Come on, Carl, what do you think we hired that Cheney character for? Let him do the talking, or pretend Georgie has a sore throat. Hell, anything. Use any excuse. But don't make him get up in front of the public again. The embarrassment is killing Babs and me." You know, it's got to be absolutely terrible to be a complete media whore like Hannity and have to sell out your soul for a bunch of money. Oh, yeah, I mean, I'd like to have the money he makes, but I wouldn't prostitute myself ideologically like Hannity does. I wouldn't do it. I got some scruples. Imagine having to listen to Bush's speech and then go on the air and pretend that you thought it was a great speech. I mean, Hannity isn't even a very good actor. But then when you think about the intellect of his audience, he doesn't have to be such a good actor now, does he? Just good enough to fool a bunch of adults with about a third grade intelligence level. And I apologize to all third graders on that one. And, as long as I'm talking about Hannity's audience, and I know some of them are listening because I get plenty of email from them, as long as we're on that subject, have you noticed how his audience and also those of Limbaugh's and Bortz's and O'Reilly's, you know, the whole far-right gang, have you noticed how they're starting to sound a bit worried? Starting with the questions for the show host like, "Do you think we're in trouble, Sean? Do you think we're in trouble, Rush? Are the polls believable? I'm hearing a lot of that." And I love every minute when I hear that. They are worried. And it's beginning to sink in that they are the minority in this country. They've lied and cheated and misrepresented and gerrymandered and stolen their way to prominence in this country. And they've been suffering from the misconception that they've been in the majority. It isn't true. It never was. And if I have anything to do with it, it never will be. You know, while it's possible that 10 or 20 or 30 or even 50% of the people can be wrong, a country can't survive for long if more than half of its citizens are ignorant enough to elect leaders to office who are incompetent or don't have the welfare of the people as their first priority. Okay, Bush and company did succeed in sliding into office under dubious circumstances. They did fool millions of voters. But as usually happens, the people are wising up, and they finally figured out that this White House gang has neither the competence to do the job nor the public good as their mission. So Hannity and his radical right-wingers can carry on all they want. The handwriting is on the wall. They are the minority in this country, and I have the full confidence that good sense will prevail in November. The question is, will we have an honest election? I might add, with all these terrorist threats coming up at such an opportune time right now, will we have an election? That is my fear. Will we have an election? If we get hit again, will Bush declare martial law and say, "Oh, by the way, folks, we can't take time out to vote this year. We've got all this trouble." Does that sound too cynical? I think that way. I don't like to think that way. I would like to think that that is absolutely a preposterous idea. But it isn't. Not with this lying president. Not with this group of incompetent people in the White House right now. Call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Go on to the phones right now and going to talk to Ray in New Haven. Ray, welcome to the program.
Hey, Guy, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, great to hear Bev. and whoever wrote his speeches and gave him the courage to get out there and say it loud and clear. That was phenomenal, and I'm glad you're helping to air it. The mainstream liberal media, of course, has ignored it.
Oh, yeah.
How they said a word about it, that's just incredible.
I might add, Ray, that mainstream liberal media on CNN the other day, I can't think of the woman's name now, but one of their reporters said that it was reported, almost reported it as fact that Al-Qaeda wanted Kerry to get elected. So that's another thing for this mainstream media.
Right, yeah, I know. Sorry, I couldn't get to speak with Bev. She's one of my heroines as well. She did a great job today. You know, I have a background in computer programming, although I was a minister. I'm still a clergyman. I retired early for health reasons and went into programming. And with just a year or so of programming experience, I used my little old computer that was incredibly limited compared to anything that you have nowadays. I created my own programming for keeping track of my checking. This is before we had anything like Quicken. And with that little experience I had in this lousy computer, I was able to design my own programming, check programming, that would even print checks and translate the written numbers into the letters. Mm-hmm. Really phenomenal amount of work that I put into it. But what I was able to do with that, I can't believe that all this voting machine stuff is so difficult. It's incredibly simple. You're just choosing among a few people, make your choice among a handful of people, and maybe a yes and no on a few questions. It's really not all that complicated. In fact, somebody came up with a fantastic system, and unfortunately he died in a mysterious accident. He was a black man. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Well, recently he devised a system, and I think this is very simple and very much to the point. His system produced a printed output which you could then check on the internet. You could just feed in your number. You're given a number, so you're not identified, and then you go on the internet to see if your vote was properly tallied, and the votes that you placed there are actually represented in the national database. Why this isn't the system that's recognized as the obvious solution to the whole thing, I don't know. But that way, everybody could be sure that the system is right, because everybody could check for themselves to see that their vote was counted accurately. And if theirs and everybody else's who checked it was accurate, then you wouldn't have any doubt about the system.
Well, I'm sorry that I have doubts about the system. I'm sorry that all of us have doubts. Many of us, anyway, have doubts about the system. And I, for one, call me a curmudgeon if you want, but I want to go back to nothing but good old paper ballots. And
this would be a paper ballot in the sense that it would print out your votes on a piece of paper with your number on it.
Okay, Ray, but let's assume we do that, and everybody goes home with their number in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so we think something's fishy with it. How do we get everyone to cooperate and come back with these things, they get together and prove that they voted? How do we get everybody to do that?
Well, of course, if you're talking about everybody being 150 million people, you can't do it. But if the system is working the way it's supposed to work, there'll be no problem.
I mean, God knows we're lucky to get people out to vote now the way
right.
It is.
But with this system, it would prove immediately if the system was working, or it would prove immediately that the system was not working, in which case you might have to do it all over again, do it another day, if it proves that the system just collapsed or was just dead wrong. Then you couldn't trust it. You certainly wouldn't accept the outcome, and you wouldn't be stuck with a president who was illegitimate for 4 years.
Yeah.
So I think that's
Hey, Ray,
one of the ways.
We got news coming up at the top of the hour. Got to run. Thank you so much for your call.
Just one quick thing.
Yeah.
All right. Another website I've created in response to the Catholic bishops attacking liberal Democrats is shameoncatholics.org. Shameoncatholics.org.
That ought to make you popular with some of them.
Well, I urge all Democrats and Catholics to check it out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
Bye.
Always good to hear from Ray. And, hey, it's, gee whiz, it's news time coming up again already. How does that clock move so fast when we're in here? Anyway, we're going to stop for the news right now. You're listening to The Guy James Show, WPTK, Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. And don't forget, you can call us, 888-602-7500-7504. We expect that you will, and we'll be right back after the news.
The Guy James Show. Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Remembering a generation of citizen soldiers. I'm Joan Bennett. 6 decades after American and Allied troops stormed the beaches of Normandy, the World War II Memorial was officially dedicated today in Washington. Thousands of veterans, politicians, and presidents paid tribute. President Bush.
These were the modest sons of a peaceful country. And millions of us are very proud to call them dad.
Former Senator and decorated World War II vet Bob Dole.
The citizen soldiers of Hanford Liberty's Call fought not for territory, but for justice. Not for plunder, but to liberate enslaved peoples around the world.
Military officials say the shots that killed former NFL player Pat Tillman in Afghanistan last month probably came from his fellow soldiers. The Army says Tillman's unit was battling enemy fighters under difficult circumstances. Commander of Fort Bragg, Lieutenant General Philip Kenzinger.
Corporal Tillman was shot and killed while responding to enemy fire without regard to his own safety. He focused his efforts on the elimination of enemy forces and the protection of his team members.
Four more U.S. soldiers were killed in Afghanistan today. Saudi forces are surrounding suspected Islamic militants who are thought to be holding about 50 hostages in a high-rise in Khobar, Saudi Arabia. The gunman fled to the building after spraying gunfire inside two oil industry compounds in the Persian Gulf. At least 10 people were killed, including one American. Dominican troops buried bodies of flooding and mudslide victims surrounded by crocodiles. Doctors warned of health hazards from burying more than 1,000 victims in shallow graves. A surfer says he was knocked off his board by a great white shark near Salmon Creek Beach in Sonoma County, California. He said he hit the shark with his board until it swam away. This is ABC News.
An OnStar Conversation, February 15th, 2004.
Emergency, this is Valerie.
Oh, we need an ambulance.
Okay, I do have you on State Highway 146. Are there any injuries?
Yeah, a truck turned in front of another car and hit it, and it turned over right in front of us.
Okay, I will contact the police.
Okay.
Police?
Yes, this is Valerie with OnStar, and I'm reporting a vehicle crash with airbag deployment on Highway 146.
Okay, I'm going to send an ambulance.
Thank you.
Make sure you're never without the valuable assistance of OnStar.
Sir, the police do have the car, and the ambulance is on the way, okay?
Okay.
Would you like for me to remain on the line?
I'll see the police.
Okay.
Many Buick vehicles are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your Buick dealer or Buick.com. OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
Democrats, unite. This is the year and now is the time. Your voice must be heard in Southwest Florida. Join hundreds of other concerned American patriots as we combine our energies, our talents, and our resources to announce to all of Southwest Florida that our presence will no longer be ignored, our voices no longer denied. Our party needs us now. Our country needs us now. The Collier County Democratic Club is leading the way, rising on the tide of determination. Join us at our exciting monthly meetings and learn what you can do to make a difference. Call the Democratic Hotline today at area code 239-434-7754 or log on to www.collierdemocrats.org. Again, call 434-7754 or log on to www.callyourdemocrats.org. This is the year, and now is the time. The time to start thinking about tomorrow. The time to start thinking about joining the Collier County Democratic Club. This has been a paid political advertisement, approved and paid for by the Collier County Democratic Club, Bill McMahon, Treasurer. Thing you do, the first chance you get, make the first thing you watch. Wink News This Morning, live on scene reports, real-time traffic, weather every 8 minutes, and the best morning news team around. Patrick Comer, Stacey Adams, Marisa Hoax. Wink News This Morning, first for you. Wink News has Southwest Florida's only team of certified meteorologists, weather experts with the experience that makes the difference when the weather is the big story. Chief Meteorologist Jim Farrell has been forecasting Southwest Florida weather for 2 decades, and meteorologist Marisa Oakes, Scott Zediker, and Janine Albert make Wink the only place to turn for weather from certified local meteorologists around the clock. Accurate, dependable, certified, and only on Wink News.
Guy James, proud American patriot and host of America's number one Democratic talk show, brings his bold brand of liberal talk radio to Southwest Florida. Now, here's Guy James.
I invite you to join me every Saturday for a look at the way it really is. You've already heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth.
Guy James, every Saturday, 3 to 6, right here on Power Talk 1200. It's the Guy James Show.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, sirree. Guy James back with you for the final hour of the show today. Got a lot to cram in this final hour. Do want to let you know we're going to do Republican Love in just a few minutes. And we've got the all-time great compassionate conservative letter to read to you today, at least in my opinion. Oh, boy. It's a dandy. Hey, and before I go any farther, I do want to let you know of an event coming up from the Democratic Women's Club of Lee County here in Florida, in Fort Myers. The Democratic Women's Club of Lee County has been asked by the DEC to spearhead a voter registration drive in Lee County, which we're calling Lee County Votes 2004. Looking forward to working with precinct captains, community activists, and fellow Democratic clubs to make this a success. Before the work begins, join us for good food, lively conversation, and lots of fun. Come and meet the local candidates, precinct captains, convention delegates, and other dedicated Democrats. That's Memorial Day party, grilling, chilling, and milling around coming up tomorrow, Sunday, from 4 to 8 p.m. Donations to the DWC are appreciated, and that's going to be at Cafe Schmooze at on Jackson Street, 1532 Jackson Street in downtown Fort Myers. A nice place. Been there for a couple of Democratic functions. A great place, and they have good food there, too. So everybody come on out for that. It's tomorrow between 4 and 8 at Cafe Schmooze at 1532 Jackson Street. Before we go to Republican Love, let me see here. Who's been waiting the longest? We're going to go to Bill in Fort Myers. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hello, Guy. How you doing?
Glad to have you with us today, Bill.
Well, I just have to respond to there's so many people out there so many right-wing people that are putting out, rewriting history and attacking the Democrats that it almost gets silly with some of the stuff they say, but I'm going to respond to it because we have to at this point. But I heard Rush Limbaugh going on and on about how hateful the Democrats are to actually criticize our our president at a time of war. He says, now this would have never happened back in World War II.
But, that's, you know, right, because we didn't have an idiot for a president.
Well, yes. And, of course, none of us are old enough to be there for FDR, but we can read. And when FDR came out with that New Deal, the Republicans hated him with a passion. And then when he came out with Social Security, not just for the wealthy, but for everybody, they really hated him. And that hatred went all the way through. And he was never unopposed. He had to win four times in a row. So all this rewriting of history is just not going to work.
No, it's not going to work. And another thing they seem to have forgotten, they opposed the Second World War in a big, big, big way.
Exactly.
Roosevelt had to do some big-time finagling to help out our European allies.
Well, I think the biggest thing this week was for George Will to go on record to say that the invasion of Iraq was a blunder.
Oh, yeah.
George Will is not a lightweight in the Republican Party.
No, sir.
And another thing, when the president came out and said that we should tear down that Iraqi prison and rebuild it to a state-of-the-art prison, when there's nothing wrong with the building, it's the management that the problem was. Liberals don't like that, and Republicans really don't like wasting money like that. So I think there's more and more people that are pulling away from this president.
Oh, absolutely. I hear it all the time. I get email every day from Republicans saying, you know, not necessarily that they're going to vote for Kerry, but they're not going to vote this year. They can't in good conscience vote for this guy.
That's what I think is going to happen. The religious right, they're never going to vote for us Democrats, let's face it. But they, when they saw some of those activities in that prison that had kind of a gay homosexual ring to it, they don't like that. And they were promised by this president that he was going to support a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriages. And that was supposed to go through the House last week. You know what happened last week? Nothing.
Nothing.
And that's nobody's right. Calling him, but the people on the religious right are not stupid. And sooner or later, they're going to figure out that this man is telling them whatever they want to hear with his mouth, but his actions, he doesn't care about them. And maybe they'll stay home, and that might be enough to help us.
Well, he does that over and over and over again, says one thing. I mean, you know, I had another example this week. He went at that children's hospital and made like he's the friends of children and children's hospital, went behind the scenes, cutting the funding for children's hospital issues over and over and over again. I mean, he's as two-faced as anybody
ever. That takes some nerve.
It certainly does.
And,
but, you know, it's the old Republican thing. After they're born, to hell with them.
Yeah, exactly. And then in the paper, it was revealed by studying some of the research from the Nixon years that around the Watergate, that President Nixon was so drunk that he couldn't take a call from people over in Britain. This is while we're at war.
Yeah, Henry but Kissinger, he never fell off of his bicycle.
Right. Henry Kissinger said the president, he didn't say this to anybody in Britain, but he said the president was too loaded to take the call. And this was about the time that the president of the United States, the great Republican defender, started making bizarre comments about the atomic bomb, and the button was taken away from him and given to the Secretary of Defense Schlesinger, who, by the way, is still alive today and is still around. If anybody doubts what I'm saying, they took the button away from that Republican, and now we got a new Napoleon in office that's getting more and more desperate to be Mr. Macho Man, and we might have to repeat history and take the button away from another Republican president before we really get in trouble.
Chosen by God to take us into this war. Yes, sir.
Unbelievable.
He is. Hey, thanks for your call, Bill. Good call, as always. Let's see. We're going to go to Amanda, and then we're going to go to Republican Love. Amanda, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. How are you doing?
Great.
If they took the button away from Nixon and gave it to the Secretary of Defense, oh, my God, does that mean they're going to give it to Rumsfeld?
Well, I don't know. I don't know who they'd give it to, but you know, if they gave it to Junior, it'd be a disaster.
That would be a disaster. I called.
See, there he is right now. They took it away from him. Give me that button back. No, they took my button.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Oh, come on, Junior. That's enough. You know, the kid really—he really is spoiled. Anyway,
oh,
that's
Lord,
Junior when they took the button.
Sounds just like him.
Yep.
Only he was babbling, coherently. I called about the G8 summit.
Oh, yeah, coming up.
Well, no.
In your state.
And did you know our state's under a state of emergency?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Sonny Perdue signed that into law.
Over the G8?
Yeah. Last week.
Well, it's being held where?
Well, it's being held at Sea Island.
Well, and the whole state, little bitty Sea Island, and the whole state's under?
No, he's got the coastal states under a state of emergency, but it's still bull because nothing's happened. Why declare the whole state under a state of emergency? Plus, Kings Bay was under lockdown last week, and you can feel a militarization presence in the whole state. You really can't.
Well, sure. There'll be unprecedented security around there. That's for certain. And not an easy place to protect either.
No. I used to live in St. Mary's around the Kings Bay area.
Oh yeah.
And for the people out there who don't know what Kings Bay is, that is the nuclear sub base that can blow up the entire world. So he's really got him some protection out there on Sea Island.
Right.
But I thought it was the ACLU. They filed some papers because we were put under a state of emergency, some certain portions of Georgia. And I suspect the entire state of Georgia, because some of the training is being held in Atlanta. On the protest was on the local news last night. Some of the people in being leery, they're Americans too, wanting the same protection from the terrorists should there be a terrorist attack that, the politicians and the world leaders are getting, and you ought to heard the response that they got back.
Oh, I can imagine.
Well, you're going to have to do what we say do, or we will handle you with extreme force.
Well, no reason for them to change now. They've gotten away. Look what they did in Miami.
Absolutely. I think
Miami was a travesty.
I think they're going to make Miami look like a picnic.
Oh, I hope not. That was brutal. I know people that were there, and that was absolutely brutal.
It was brutal. And the thing that bothered me so extremely much is the fact that I heard this when they said it was going to be at Sea Island, Georgia last year. I had said, oh, that's going to be a mess because they were holding the protesters back as far away as Savannah and Brunswick.
Mm.
And people from other countries don't understand. Here we are preaching democracy, and they've got these little free speech zones. They're charging people to have a protest.
Yeah.
Which isn't right. I thought that was in our Constitution.
That's a fact.
And the whole thing is not meshed. Democracy should begin at home.
Well, we're telling the Iraqis, don't do as we do as we say. That's the whole thing about that wonderful democracy they're going to have there in Iraq. Amanda, got to move on. Thank
Good
you so much.
Good talking to you guys.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to take one more call here before we do Republican Love. We got Mike in Fort Myers.
Well, good afternoon, Guy.
Good afternoon.
I'm starting to notice, as I'm sure a lot of us are, that the Republicans are starting to show a little bit of concern that they're this incompetent fellow that they've chosen, that their leader is just falling down on the job. And I keep hearing these questions thrown out there as a way to sort of continue to get their base to hang with them. What would Kerry do different? And I have a couple little things jotted down here that I think that Kerry would do different if he were our next president, and I think he's going to be. And it's about what will happen if George Bush doesn't get reelected. The war on terrorism will continue, of course, and the stem cell research will be fully accommodated if Kerry is elected, and an opportunity for health insurance for working Americans will be emphasized. Favorable conditions for corporations to avoid paying their share of taxes will stop. Translation outsourcing will be discouraged, and importing of cheap labor will be discouraged. We'll have an energy policy that rewards efficiency and punishes wasting and polluting, such as no tax deductions for SUVs and reinstatement of the Clean Air Act to its original intent. And there'll be an interest in winding up this illegitimate war in Iraq, and at least focus it to benefit the Iraqis and not the likes of Halliburton.
Yeah, Mike, you're exactly right. This doesn't come down necessarily to you know, as simply as I can put it, to what? It comes down to how. I mean, we know what we want to accomplish as far as the war on terrorism. It's how we're going to do it. And it's the how that's been the big problem here.
This president, maybe he might have been an okay president if he hadn't been hijacked by this Christian coalition or the religious right.
Oh, yeah.
And this Wolfowitz warmonger and you're taken astray off into this craziness of Iraq. We had no business going in there at all. And he's just, I think the man just doesn't have the brain power to know how to manage a situation as big as he's got his hands around.
You know, I wanted to talk about it more today, but I'm not going to have time. But I wanted to get into this subject about this Armageddon thing that the born again fundamentalist Christians are they're thinking we're in the last days. And you know, the so-called Armageddon is going to take place over 50 miles north of Jerusalem.
Well, I'm not surprised that they're saying, they're hearing a lot of people saying now that we're in a religious war. And in fact, that it's easy for the people that are supporting this president, his base, to look at it that way, because they feel like it's a competition for God, of our God.
Oh yeah,
it's the biggest God here.
My God's better than your God. I'll tell you what, that's a sure recipe for disaster.
Well, let's have some Republican love there, Guy.
We're going to.
Look forward to that.
Hey, thank you very much for your call. Yes, indeed, we get letters every week. Did we have the orchestra ready? Sounds kind of nice and light today. That's nice and light. I like that. These letters aren't somber. They're very nice. We get letters every week for those of you that may be listening for the first time today. And they're mostly from our Republican friends. I mean, we get a lot of nice Democratic mail, and someday I ought to read some of that on. Now and then I do. But these ones we get from our Republican friends, mostly our neocon friends, are usually a treat. So we pick out what we think might be the most entertaining ones. And today, I've got what I think is the most, it's the quintessential compassionate conservative letter, and I'll save that one for last today. Starting out, Mr. Smart Guy. So now you're going to pick on Fox News? Cheney says he watches Fox because they're fair and balanced. That's good enough for me, and it ought to be good enough for anybody. Oh, okay. He goes on to say, I don't expect a flaming commie liberal like you, here we go, like you to be able to see that Fox is fair and balanced, but literally the whole world knows that they are the premier news channel with nothing but facts, facts, facts. Everyone on that channel is fair, and you know it. And before you start in about Hannity, let me remind you that it is Hannity and, he puts "and" in big letters, Hannity and Combs, so that is obvious fairness right there. Well, evidently they haven't watched Alan Combs too much. If he isn't a whipping boy for Hannity, I don't know what they hired him for. He goes on to say, they wouldn't have to have Combs, but they want to keep it fair. That's why Hannity gets three-quarters of the FaceTime and, anyway. O'Reilly plays it right down the middle, and so do the rest of the commentators on Fox. Sorry, man, but you lose on that one. So, Mr. Demo Rat, so now you bare your fangs and cut down our president at every opportunity. How nice of you. How patriotic of you. How utterly stupid of you. And he's got a whole bunch of exclamation marks behind that. Do you know where you are living? Well, yeah, actually, Fort Myers, Florida. It's paradise here, by the way. He goes on to say, most of us around, you know, now I always have to put my guard up, my antenna go up when I hear somebody say most of us. Most of us around here believe in what he does. Well, let me tell you, friend, the polls aren't showing that right now, are they? Mm-mm. Most of us around here think he is possibly the greatest president this nation has ever had. Ooh. Most of us around here are real Americans. Face it, Mr. Leftist Traitor, you and your kind are not wanted here. Give it up and get out. This is actually from Fort Myers. Give it up and get out. We don't want you here. Go ahead and read this if you want to, and don't forget my name is Bruce. Well, Bruce, gosh, I hate it that you don't want me here anymore, but guess what? I'm going to stay. All right, our second letter. I'm a lifelong Republican. in parenthesis, 76 years old. I've never voted for even one Democrat in my life. However, I'm going to change all of that this fall. I'm going to vote for John Kerry. How did this letter get in here? Wow. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't like Kerry because he's a Democrat, and I don't believe in the Democratic Party. It's just that I think Kerry could not possibly screw things up as bad as Bush has. I voted for Bush and his father, and I still believe his father was a fine president, but the boy has proven to be a disaster for America. I served in Korea, and my son served in Vietnam, but I cannot tolerate a president who very obviously lied over and over again to take us into this war. He has no respect for his military, and he and Rumsfeld have showed their lack of faith in our military by rejecting the military's suggestion regarding Iraq and going with their own plans, which have proven to be a catastrophe. I'll go back to voting Republican when our party can show me that they have erased all traces of this Bush boy from the party. I listen to your show, and you make me mad sometimes, but you also have caused me to do some serious thinking, and I thank you for that. Robert Riley from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Well, thank you, Robert. And okay, let's see. Another letter last week, you know, we spoke about Dick Cheney and his continued affiliation with Halliburton. This letter starts out, so what if Dick Cheney has 433,000 stock options with Halliburton? So what if he got a $23 million retired package? He earned every dollar of that money. Well, we could debate that fact for a long time. The letter goes on, clowns like you don't think a man should be fairly paid for his efforts, and if he makes more than you do, you think everybody should be paid the same. That's the mantra of the left. We're all equal. Well, we're not all equal. You have a lot of nerve talking about someone making a lot of money. You radio guys, now here's the part of this letter that cuts me to the bone. You radio guys are paid far more than you should be paid. Man, if you only knew. Now, Rush makes about $45,000 an hour, but he needs it because that Oxycontin and those other drugs he's hooked on are really, really expensive. You know, think about that for one moment, though. Rush Limbaugh, in 1 hour, think about this, in 1 hour, makes triple what the average Walmart employee makes for working full-time for an entire year. You're absolutely right. We're not all equal. Man, that's a startling fact. And now I want to get to the letter that I think is the grand prize, greatest example of compassionate conservatism that I've gotten since we started this show some year and a half ago. Mr. James, this past Saturday, I heard you read an article which stated that Vice President Cheney said Walmart was one of America's great companies. You then went on to disparage the good name of Walmart. Why? I'll have you know that my mother worked for Walmart during the last 5 years of her life, and it was a godsend to our family because it meant that her children didn't have to subsidize her income. With her Social Security, her Walmart paycheck, some help from her church, and some government assistance with food stamps, she was able to get by. She was paid almost $7 per hour, which is pretty darn good for someone 74 years of age. She worked about 30 hours per week, and although it was hard on her, our family was very gratified that she was able to make it on her own without us having to pay her keep. There are six of us, and we each have our own families with bills and our own problems. And if not for Walmart, we would have had to pitch in out of our own incomes and take money away from our families. When she died, the Walmart store manager called us and gave us her condolences and some advice as to how we could save a tremendous amount of money on funeral expenses by having Mom cremated. God bless Walmart, and shame on you for saying bad things about them. Well, I don't know. That one just about says it all. I think that one says it all. Almost $7 an hour. Woman raised six kids, and they couldn't contribute anything to her welfare. Walmart suggesting she be cremated. They could save a lot of money. I wonder if Walmart had one of those insurance policies on her like they do with their elderly people. You know, they put a life insurance policy on their older employees, but they don't tell them about it. And then when they die, they go, Walmart collects. Did you know that? Any of you know that? They did that. I think they've stopped that policy now. But I think that just says a lot. I really think it does. And we thank everybody for those letters. I thought that one was especially good. I think that one's going to go into the Neocon Republican Love Hall of Fame. And thus ends the Republican Love for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Wow. Well, I don't know. Right now, I think I better tell you about some friends of mine. You know, there's nothing like a neighborhood bookstore, and some of the big guys tried to recreate them or to minimize them. Even the Internet tries desperately to create a virtual copy, but neither comes close. One of our favorites is the oldest bookstore on Sanibel Island, the McIntosh Bookstore. It's a genuine old-fashioned neighborhood bookstore, a store that in too many towns is now only part of the museum's historic town exhibit. But on Sanibel, it's a real, thriving, not virtual, a flesh-and-blood store. McIntosh is operated by Jim Dowling, a lifetime student of literature, a young fellow who's as unique as the store itself. And the first step inside tells you that this is someplace special. Maybe it's the aroma of the old wooden floors and the first edition books, or maybe it's the wide variety of titles and subjects to choose from. And also nestled on those old shelves are the latest books on both sides of the political debate, and one can find authors of current progressive writings as well as those on the other side of the fence. And currently for our listeners, they carry Molly Ivins and Al Franken, Michael Moore and Jim Hightower, and many, many others. They're also bestsellers for easy summer reading, children's books, gifts and cards, and McIntosh is the place for books on nature, birding and shelling. And when you can't find it anywhere else, you can usually get it at McIntosh. And you can also order online at www.sanibelbooks.com. Stop by. Even if you don't buy anything, you're always welcome to come on in and take a look at a real bookstore. That's the McIntosh Bookstore at 2365 Periwinkle Way in Sanibel Island, Florida. All right, let's go back to the phones here right now. We're going to go to Bob in Cape Coral.
Hey, Guy, how do I follow that after that last story?
Well, I don't know. How do you?
Happy Memorial Day. That's all I can say.
Thank you, yeah.
What a shame that a 74-year-old has to work that hard.
Well, I just don't know. You know, if you got six kids, you think if a few of them would throw in $5 a piece and help you every week, I don't know. But, you know, that's that philosophy. Take care of yourself, personal responsibility, even 74-year-old mom.
I guess so. But the reason why I called you guys is I have to take exception to your criticism of the media. I think CBS has been right on. I mean, they're the ones that broke the Abu Ghraib, the prison scandal. They've been right on. The CBS has been really good. They haven't followed like NBC and ABC. What do you think?
Well, I think they've done a good job. I don't have any quarrel with them. It's the folks on the right that are saying that this liberal, runaway liberal elitist media is slanting the news. You know, I don't think so. I don't see it. I never have.
No, me neither, because CBS, every night, I don't even listen any longer to Brokaw or Jennings, even though, you know, I give Jennings credit, but CBS has been really good at it. But what do you think about Kerry Clark on the ticket for the VP, Kerry Clark as a ticket?
Well, I could vote for that. I don't have a problem voting for Kerry Clark at all. You know, I don't have a problem with Kerry and half a dozen of them that are up about it. I just hope it's not somebody out in left field that, you know. I love General Clark. As you know, early on, I talked a lot about General Clark. He's certainly one of my favorites.
Well, he's my favorite, too, because I'm thinking, how could Cheney and Bush, two draft dodgers, actually say anything negative about two war heroes? I mean, I just can't see how they could. I would think they would take the one strong point that Bush has, which is supposedly national defense, which I think we're less safe now than we were back before September 11th. I think we're less safe now. But if you get take two war heroes on the same ticket, I just can't see how he can say anything.
Oh, you know, but to show you the brass that they got, you know, they tried it on Kerry already, tried to attack him on his war record. That was a classic example, I think, of taking the fight to somebody else. They knew they had to be on the defensive. Instead of being on the defensive on that, they went on the offense, and it worked for a while, but I think it's worn off now.
Do you think it's one-off, though, really? Because I'm just concerned that that they're trying to turn it around, like Kerry didn't vote for the armor, the body armor, and the $80 billion whatever.
Well, hopefully the voters are smart enough to know that there never was a vote on body armor. Hopefully they're smart enough to know that Kerry didn't do anything except vote against weapons systems that Cheney himself, when he was Secretary of Defense, sent up. These are... All these things that he voted against are things Cheney sent up to be, you know, that he wanted eliminated when he was Secretary of Defense to save money.
Exactly. What did I read about that families were sending $1,200 and buying the body armor
yeah.
to send to their kids in Iraq?
Having bake sales.
Having bake sales. And what they're blaming, saying that Kerry didn't vote for the body armor, where Bush sent our kids over there without the body armor. I don't understand why are they getting away with that? How come that no one is pointing that out?
And why has nobody pointed out that, hey, money's no object? We seem to have an unlimited amount of money, according to the Bushes. We can throw all the money at that war. I mean, look at the money. Hey, if you took a small portion of what Halliburton has skimmed off of this thing, it would buy all the body armor we need over there.
Exactly, and that's the key that's getting to me the most, is that, and I hate to think it, and I really hope that the President of the United States didn't go to war over profit, but I cannot see how he cannot explain to us how that is not the case.
No, it's an overwhelming case, in my opinion. I hate to be that cynical. I hate to feel that way about the supposed leader of our country, but I do. And I think it's becoming increasingly clear that the war profiteering on this is like nothing before, ever before.
I agree with you, guys. One last thing, real quick. With the Kyoto Accords, with Bush backing out of that back in 2001, after Clinton so painstakingly got this thing approved and got it, you know, going through, with the new movie coming out the next day or whatever, the day after.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Because it's so scary to me that these environmental problems, I'm hoping that it brings it to the forefront. Exactly. I mean, granted, I know that we're not going to have an ice age in 2 days or whatever like that. I understand that. But I hope it brings it to the forefront, all the problems we are
having. Well, you know, the problem I have with that, Bob, is this administration seems to want to ignore science, period. They will not accept any findings of science. You know, when it comes to Kyoto Accords and treaties and so forth, we're an outlaw nation. And it bothers me that, you know, most of the scientific community wants to go with the Kyoto Accords and so forth, and these gentlemen just so easily say, oh, to hell with it. We don't want to be a part of it. And I agree. Clinton and those and the Clinton administration so painstakingly helped out on the Kyoto Accord, and then for us just to laugh it off like it was a joke. Well, you know, everything's a joke to this administration. Thanks for your call, Bob.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Going to go to John in Northern California. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate your show. You know, I was raised by a conservative, and I remember him telling me that what we hated most about the Russians was that they used propaganda on their people.
Oh, yeah.
And this morning I heard that Pat Tillman may have been killed by friendly fire.
Yeah.
And they put that out on a Saturday so that not very many people would
sure.
hear about it.
That's their modus operandi. They always put it on a Saturday.
And I just wonder, isn't that a conservative issue? Why aren't these conservatives upset about being lied to their by their government?
You know,
why aren't they upset about George Bush stealing the election and then sending the young men off to die to put democracy in Iraq? What's going on with these people? Why aren't they thinking?
It concerns me. It concerns me a lot that many people, you know, he's not going to get 50 million votes again, but it concerns me that so many people are able to overlook anything. You know, I somebody the other day, it's funny, but it's not funny. Somebody said the other day that some of these conservatives could walk in the Oval Office and see the guy eating baby toes, and they'd probably say, well, that's okay. We don't care. He's our man. You know, he's just, they don't care. They'll overlook anything that he does, and I mean anything.
Yeah, it's like they want their team to win, and it doesn't matter to them how they do it.
You know, I mentioned earlier in the show today, I talked to a gentleman that I know today, and I asked him if there's anything that he could, you know, can Bush do any wrong? He said no. He said he can't. I have full confidence that he's a good Christian man, and whatever he says is good enough for me. And, man, I'll tell you, I don't know anybody that whatever he says is good enough for me. Nobody.
Well, maybe we need to pray for these people. Guy, thanks for your show, and I always look forward to Saturdays. I love it.
Thanks very much.
Take care.
You know, talking about propaganda, I don't think a lot of these conservatives know what hit them. I really don't. Now, I know many people here on the liberal side of the issues. You know who World Net Daily is. You hear World Net Daily quoted over and over and over again. Newsmax and World Net Daily, their favorite news sources besides Drudge and Fox. But they constantly go to this World Net Daily, who's a publication of terrible repute and sloppiness and terrible propaganda. And I was reading through an article that someone sent me, and they sent me this article to try and prove a point. And I want to tell them what I found out from this article. It proved nothing. World Net Daily put an article on their site that says recently translated documents captured by U.S. forces provide new evidence of a direct link between Saddam Hussein's regime and the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack on the United States. Rosters of officers in Saddam's Fedayeen list, Lieutenant Colonel Ahmed Hakmet Shakir, who was present at the January 2000 Al-Qaeda summit in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, at which the 9/11 attacks were planned, the Wall Street Journal reports. Okay? World Net Daily is quoting this of the Wall, says the Wall Street Journal said that. You know, it says, well, here's the point. They quoted the Wall Street Journal. What they did not go on to say, what is said in the Wall Street Journal, the Wall Street Journal said, however, it is possible the Shakir listed on the rosters is not the Iraqi of the same name with proven Al-Qaeda connections. So, you know, the Wall Street Journal puts this on the back page with a huge caveat on it, and this World Net Daily outfit puts it on the front page as fact, quotes the Wall Street Journal to give them some credence, but leaves out the most important part of the story. And so all these conservative, mindless conservatives, in many cases, read this thing and go, well, it must be the truth. Well, obviously it's a damn lie. Going back to the phone right now, we got Mike in South Carolina. Mike, welcome to the show.
No, that'd be Michael in North Carolina.
Oh, Michael in North Carolina. Well, it's just one letter off.
Just one. Yeah, just a little farther north. How have you been?
How are you? How's things down in your area today?
Well, it's pretty good. It's gotten hot. It's almost like Southwest Florida now.
Yeah.
But, you know, then again, it will snow next winter, which is always a nice change.
You had one of the top Republicans in your area just the other day, didn't you? Didn't Wake Forest have their commencement, and didn't Colin Powell or Rumsfeld or
one? Yeah, Colin Powell, I believe, was there. Then we had actually Bush about 3 weeks ago. He was collecting money. I think it was $2,000 a plate somewhere in Burlington or somewhere near here, Raleigh, something like that. So yeah, we're just chock full of people voting against their own self interest here in North Carolina, and the other people sitting there signing over checks, laughing all the way to the bank.
Is there any hope of North Carolina?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, North Carolina has been bashed so badly by, let's say, you know, NAFTA, WTO, all these trade agreements, along with the textile industry is just getting hammered. And, you know, this new job growth, they lose a job that pays maybe $15, $17 an hour, and they replace it with a $9 an hour job. And, you know, people are losing their homes because of this. And, you know, it's I think they're starting to figure out that the sort of anarchistic, you know, quote-unquote free trade, which basically just benefits giant multinationals, is not really in their best interest anymore. So I could see it happening, yeah. And actually, I think our Senate, Democratic Senate candidate, God, what is his name? Anyway, I can't think of it. But I think he's right now got a fairly large lead on the Republican challenger. So.
Oh, really?
That's a good one, too.
Excellent, excellent.
Taking Edwards' place.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think about Edwards? If he joins the ticket, will that swing North Carolina?
He's popular here, yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I think somebody told me the other day, because I'm still trying to figure this state out, But they basically told me that North Carolina would probably swing the way of the general election, that it's so tight, and it would probably swing if Bush were to somehow steal another one, or if Kerry were to take it, would probably swing that direction, just from, I guess, political will or something. I don't know what it is. I can't figure it out. I still haven't figured it out.
Well, I could be wrong, but I don't think we're going to lose this election.
Well, I don't think so either. Although, hey, the reason I really called is I was reading the paper or a couple of the internet sites today, and Tallahassee Democrat had a article. They're doing another voter purge. Have you talked about that?
Oh, yet? Yeah. Yeah, they certainly are.
Oh, yeah, 47,000 this time. Yeah. And I remember last time they did it, only, what was it, 6% of the people that they purged were actually felons. So, you know, maybe this time they'll get it up to 15%.
How would you feel if, you know, they said, sorry, pal, you don't vote, and you go back to 2004 and your name's still not on the voter roll?
Well, if that wouldn't turn you into a, you know, I don't know,
yeah,
somebody that might protest just a tad over the norm, I don't know what would. But, yeah, they're going to do it again, and I think it's 48,000 this time, and they're saying they're going to be much more accurate than last time, which was, like I said, about 6% accuracy level in 2000.
Yeah, well, if they bump that up to 8 or 10 or 20
well,
or
even...
Well,
if they bumped it up to 8, that'd be, what, a 33% increase.
You know what? If they bumped it up to 98, it wouldn't be good enough.
No, it wouldn't, exactly. And they cannot meet it. They cannot do it. Most of these people that are being bumped are minorities. They're African-Americans. They're Hispanic. They're in a majority of them. Surprise, surprise, Democrats.
They have no reason to get it right.
Well, it's in their best interest, of course. Not.
Absolutely.
It's just one more thing. I mean... I believe I mentioned last week that you just turn around every time you look at the paper, they're doing something else that just seems so egregious, so out of control that you're like, why don't people just freak out? It's got to be just an avalanche effect. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think sooner or later some more of them are going to crack. I'm very confident about this election right now. I really am, and I get lots of emails. You know, I read a letter earlier in the program about a guy you know, a real hardcore Republican said he couldn't do it again. He couldn't
well,
do it.
Let's hope so. I mean, you know, not all Republicans, I think, are completely ethically, you know, bereft of any ethics or morality, I hope.
No, some of them are just stubborn.
Yeah, you know, some are stubborn. You know, stubborn is fine unless you guide America and, you know, right over the cliff with these lunatics.
Right, right. They cut off your nose to spite your face.
Exactly. I mean, just give it up this one time. Go back, start your party over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be my appeal to Republicans. The real Republicans that are still out there, go back, take your party back. But in the meantime, get rid of these lunatics in the White House.
Be real Republicans again.
Be a real Republican.
Yep. I don't
Either
have any
don't issues. Vote or vote for Kerry. Reestablish your party and come out with some legitimate arguments that are actually maybe have some validity to them. But get rid of these neocon lunatics because they're gonna destroy everyone, Democrat or Republican.
Absolutely. Mike, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Tell your lovely bride we said hi.
Oh, will do.
So long. Always good to hear from Mike. Gone to Preston in Denver, Colorado. Denver, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy.
Great to have you with us.
Thank you. Your previous caller made many excellent observations, and speaking of being real Republicans, it would be good if there were more real Christians. I'm thinking of people like Pat Robertson, who was the co-owner of a gold mine in Liberia with the dictator Charles Taylor.
Yeah.
And Robertson was also a good friend of Rios Montt, who was called the Saddam of Central America. And he has this vast media empire through which he can disseminate.
Just a little thing old people overlooked. Never mind. You know, how does a charlatan like a Pat Robertson... you know,
yeah.
How does so many of us see right through that guy? He's so transparent, and yet other people, you know,
yeah,
I have a relative that looks
well,
at him as like he's, oh man, he's something special.
Yeah, I think some people think they're just kind of trusting.
Yeah.
You know, we're in this together, and they don't assume that there are these people out there manipulating them, using the Lord's name, no less, to, you know, just drop all sorts of nonsense into their heads about liberals and the Democrats and.
Well, it's only natural that for you to think that, you know, not to think that someone would mess with you over religion.
Yeah, that's right. And he does good public relations. you know, he talks about how generous he is, and maybe he'll give out some food someplace. And people are in very desperate economic times, and so they see him as a potential helper of sorts.
Exactly. Hey, but, Preston, we got to move on. I thank you so very much.
Thing. Bye-bye.
We're going to go to Bill in Port Charlotte, Florida.
Hey, Guy, how are you?
Great.
Hey, listen, man, I want to call and make a donation to the program with one proviso. I would like you to post on the your website.
You're breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I would like you to post on that the Wall Street Journal report that you spoke of, wherein they said that the fellow mentioned, the Iraqi lieutenant colonel, was not the guy listed. Now, if you do that, I'll make a $10,000 donation to your program.
You want the quote again from right off of WorldNet Daily?
I want it right out of the Wall Street Journal, where you said they said that it was not the same individual. Because I read the article in the Wall Street Journal. I read it pretty regularly.
No. Here we go.
I got the tape of the show, brother. Look.
I got it right here. The paper cautions. WorldNet Daily says. I'm taking this right off of WorldNet Daily. Paper cautions, however, it is possible the Shakir listed on the roster is not the Iraqi of the same name with proven Al-Qaeda connections.
It's possible now, but just 2 minutes ago, the Wall Street Journal, according to you, and I got the tape, said that it was not the same guy. Man, you missed $10,000 real quick. That could have kept you on the air.
Like you got $10,000. Goodbye, you idiot. This guy that calls every now and then has always got a bone to pick on technicalities, whatever. I have the proof right here in my hand that this WorldNet Daily is nothing but propaganda, because they screwed that article up one way and down the other to try and prove a point to guys like this moron that just called, who will eat that stuff up. Eat it up. You know why? Well, there's only two reasons. They either want to believe it so that they're never proven wrong, or they're stupid. Now, I'm sorry, but there are stupid people in this world. There are stupid people, and that's just the cold, hard facts. So anybody that would look at this WorldNet Daily and then take a look and compare it to what the Wall Street Journal on that would absolutely be able to conclude that the WorldNet Daily people were absolutely propagandizing that article. There's no way around it. Anybody with an ounce of intelligence can figure that out for themselves. But then again, they don't want to figure that out for themselves because it doesn't fit into their crazy neocon agenda. How many of you heard this? At Camp Warhorse Detention Center in Baqaba, north of Baghdad. I like this little story. It is a surreal scene. U.S. soldiers handing out cash to freed prisoners along with a note saying, and quote, "You have not been mistreated." Desperate to limit the damage from the Abu Ghraib prison scandal, the U.S. military has launched something of a charm offensive surrounding their detention centers. They do face an uphill struggle. It says the photographs showing Iraqi prisoners being humiliated Baghdad's Abu Ghraib have badly damaged the reputation of the world's largest army here amid growing opposition. And there was one more quote in here I wanted to find out. The governor of the area went to the prison and said to these prisoners, "Have you been mistreated?" He said to a whole bunch of them. The governor asked the detainees, dressed in orange boiler suits, "Have you been mistreated?" And in unison, they said, "No, we have never been tortured." Of course, those behind the bars, there's some 50 soldiers stood nearby. So, they're giving them money, and by golly, giving them notes that says, "You have not been mistreated." Have somebody asking for info again on that rally tomorrow. It is the Memorial Day grilling, chilling, and milling around party going on at Cafe Schmooze, 1532 Jackson Street, downtown Fort Myers, between Main and First Street. Okay, and that's between 4 and 8 p.m. And I suggest a lot of you get out to that. It is a lot of fun down there at Cafe Schmooze. Those people really know how to do it upright. You know, I was going to say earlier, lately I've heard many right-wingers complaining about all the screaming those of us on the left have been doing concerning the the Patriot Act and the loss of freedoms we suffered under this incompetent Bush administration. And those who are puzzled by our outrage would, well, they do well to take a look at the Constitution. They're always holding up the Constitution. You know, Ollie North and all those people always got the Constitution in their pocket. Well, they ought to read it. They ought to examine the reason the Constitution was written in the first place. The neocons, I think they'd have us think that they're well-meaning and want to take care of us, but the authors of the Constitution knew, and if you knew much about the Constitution, they knew that no matter how well-meaning our leaders might be, there'd always be abuses for one reason or another. And when the rules are written in stone, those abuses can be thwarted before they even get started. And it was just such a time as we're living in right now that they did this. If you want to see what our country might look like without the protection of our Constitution and Bill of Rights, take a look at some of the things the incompetent Bush administration has done to the people who are not covered by that wonderful document. Just think about that for a minute. Is the government of the United States allowed to close down a newspaper in our country for what that newspaper had written that they didn't agree with? Searches of homes without any kind of legal warrant? Indiscriminate lockup of people suspected of crimes? Illegal jailing of people who might be guilty of something? No bail, no trial, no right to counsel, no due process, no habeas corpus? You know, don't forget the prison in Guantanamo, Cuba, outside this country, where prisoners have no rights whatsoever. I know there's bad guys in there, but, you know, one of the foundations of our nation has always been our willingness to extend justice and fair play to everyone. And, you know, all of that's just a glimpse of what things might be under a would-be totalitarian government led by people like the Bushes. And don't you think for a moment they wouldn't do the same thing to you if they had half a chance? John Ashcroft and crew. That's why each of us has to pressure our congressional representatives and demand that the Constitution and Bill of Rights be held intact. No gradual erosion will ever be tolerated. That's the stance we must adhere to. You know, we can't be lazy about it either. We have to be ever vigilant, and at the first sign of erosion of our rights, we have to scream bloody murder until they listen to us and stick to the rules our wise and forward-thinking ancestors wrote for us. There can be no compromise on this. None whatsoever. If you're willing to hand over your freedoms without a fight, there's plenty of people willing to take those freedoms from you and make you their working slaves. They'll be all too happy to feed you, just enough to keep you healthy so you can work and make them more and more money. That is a fact. So pay attention, people. Keep your guard up. When they start talking about Patriot Act 2, and think about this. Think about a second Bush administration. Those of you who are thinking people, and I'm talking about maybe even some folks over on the right, if you can get past this crazy adoration of this Bush guy, and you can engage your brain once again and think about the abuses that have taken place under this administration, think about what he'd do if he no longer had to answer to anybody, if he didn't have to run for re-election again. We've already seen glimpses of his 2006 budget where he's going to stab the Veterans Administration right in the back, going to cut all kinds of programs. Of course, he wants to lower taxes some more, too. Imagine how you'd feel if you were over in Iraq right now, fighting and getting shot at and sleeping in the hot, dirty, lousy tents and the scorpions and the misery that accompanies all of that. Imagine how you'd feel knowing that the Bushes are trying to cut veterans' benefits when you get back home, should you need them, and many, many, many thousands will need them. You talk about, you know, that's unconscionable. It really is. And when I heard that this week, it was just more than I could stand. It made my distaste for this incompetent, failed president all the worse. Just all the worse. Glad you listened to the show today. We do appreciate it. I'd like you to know, remember that we're a donor-supported program. You can donate to the program at www.theguyjamesshow.com, and we hope you do so. It helps us stay on the air. But we'll be happy to join you next week. Going to have Gore Vidal on as our guest next week. And you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Remembering a generation of sacrifice, I'm Joan Bennett. 6 decades after World War II, veterans finally have a place of their own on the Mall in Washington. ABC's Vic Ratner was there for the dedication of the World War II Memorial.
Only 4 million are still alive of the 16 million men and women who President Bush praised for giving the best years of their lives for their country.
They saved our country and thereby saved the liberty of mankind.
Herald trumpets mark the dedication of the Granite Memorial on the Mall here in Washington. The $175 million cost raised from...